If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
And did you know that the OC Weekly has staples in their weekly? They do.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, Carol Q. I'm out of here. Say goodnight, and hopefully I'll get some sleep. I doubt it. Never get sleep where I live. I'm a robot, but anyway, I'm out of here, and hopefully everything will work out, and be safe and sane on Halloween, and remember, don't eat those apples with the razor blades in them.
Wow, that was embarrassing for you.
Isn't he, crazy?
Wasn't that insane? Was that not crazy?
Testing 1, 2. Test. All right.
Oh, my God, shut the hell up.
And now, my God, you are the sorriest bunch of rejects I ever seen. And I've seen the Bengals in concert.
Our feature presentation.
What was that from?
I don't have any idea.
I've seen the Bengals in concert. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Wednesday, the 18th of July. Do you like cream in your coffee?
Ooh.
Probably the Family Guy. If you don't know, it's usually the Family Guy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's where you get random stuff. You know who I miss? You know who I was thinking about today? You know who I was thinking about who we haven't heard from in, well, let me see. It's July, so 7 months.
Thank you, Ron. We're coming up on the new year in 30 seconds.
Now, what's funny about Dick Clark is he was America's teenager. He was the man who never aged. He was the multimedia threat who was a game show host, and he had a radio show, and he produced. He still produces tons of, you know, American Music Awards, Country Music Awards. He does lots of producing and television. But once a year, you'd always see him on the TV your whole life. I don't care how old you are. If you're 80, he's been on TV since the day you were born. Every year on New Year's Eve, he would come on, and he would do the show. Well, then he had a stroke, right? Mm-hmm. And then Kevin started making fun of him because he's stroking.
How dare you?
And we went on and we said, look, the guy's in bad, bad shape. I know it would be sentimental to have him come back and be improved enough that you could watch him and feel like things were great in the world and happy new year and celebrate. And they put the dude on and it was just sad. And we said, well, at least he had the chance to come on and say goodbye. So at least that painful chapter in his career is over. And now he can just curl up and die. But then they put him on again the next year.
Yeah.
And we thought, how, A, is he not any better? And B, how are they letting this poor man try to attempt to do a television show?
The crowd is getting louder and louder. We're about to say goodbye to the old year.
Now that, to me, when I hear that, that doesn't say, woohoo!
No, that
party!
That says, that's a guy that shouldn't be on the mic.
Yeah.
It just says sad. And I guess what I'm saying here is, Dick, you're bringing the party down, dude.
Wow.
You're bringing the party down.
10, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16.
And now we're going to try to make the 80-year-old stroke victim count, yeah, where he can't even talk fast enough to keep up with or keep the numbers straight, the crowd that's chanting below.
15, 14, 13, 12, 11. Nine.
I think he's at least two numbers off.
And then he went from 11 to 9.
11 to 9. Try to catch up, right?
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
He barely got that out, didn't he?
Yeah, that was the last time we ever heard from him. That was it. So maybe this year they'll do the right thing and they'll give it to anyone except for Mr. Clark, and he can just enjoy it in his pajamas in the nursing home.
You know, I think he's the one who was deciding to do it. Like, he wanted to do it.
And Grandpa wants to drive. You don't give him the keys.
No, I agree. Somebody needs to be around him and say, no, not a good idea.
I think they are going to roll him out
again
on New Year's Eve every year until the day that man dies.
Really?
I really do.
You don't think they've watched the tape from last year?
I think he – doesn't he own that?
He used to. Didn't he sell it?
Oh, maybe he did.
He did.
I think it's like Kevin said. If he wants to come out, and you know he does.
What are you going
to
do?
He's going.
You can't fight him back.
But can't the network
– fight a man in a wheelchair?
Can't ABC say, oh, it was a good run, Dick, but sorry. Not so much. Yeah. We're giving it to fill in the blank. Anyone who hasn't had a stroke.
What Dick wants, Dick gets.
That's right.
That's my motto, but I mean
– hard to
thank you, Ryan, very much. It's real good to be back with you again this year.
Well, it's been long enough that I didn't want you to forget the magic that is Strokey.
Dodgers, go!
What was that final score? Where did that end up being, Mike?
I think 13-3.
15-3.
15-3.
Listen to me. The Dodgers have been on a goddamn killing spree.
Yes, they have.
They've been doing nothing but destroying people. Well, listen, you just chalk one up to every once in a while you falter. They'll get back on the horse today and they'll play again.
I don't doubt that. I am more fascinated by a good team that's playing well getting beat 15-3.
That's the thing about baseball is that there's no explanation. And also,
but 15-3.
And also, when you have a 6'9" pitcher that doesn't throw hard enough to break a pane of glass, that's what's going to happen. Every once in a while, you have your low spots in the rotation, and then when Penny and Lowe come out and stuff, you're fine. You're fine.
Hey, listen, I'm not worried. I just am fascinated by 15-3.
I am too, especially a team that's been. They've had like 85 hits in the last five games preceding or something ridiculous like that, you know. But it's the ebb and flow of the game, my man.
That's a hell of an ebb and a hell of a flow.
Didn't they beat the Phillies the night before, though, by some crazy lopsided score in their favor?
Yeah, 11-3, I think.
What the hell?
I know. That's funny. Sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're not.
Speaking of not, Mariners. Right.
Well, maybe last night it didn't go as well as they did have a lead going into the 6-2-0, but then that all fell apart and they lost. Yeah, but it's okay, man.
It's okay. You're not worried.
I'm still feeling good about it. I'm in the same position. Mike will back me up. Mariners have been as hot as any team in baseball. I think they'd won 8 out of the last 10 games, so they're fine.
The unfortunate thing for the Mariners is that they play in the same division as the Angels.
As the Angels
are
great.
The Dodgers are just. They're making their own rules right now, but the Mariners, they have to deal with the fact that, you know, maybe the best, if not, you know, in the top three best teams in the major leagues is right in front of them.
Plus, they have that bad fan, that guy.
Plus, they have a bunch of douchebags as fans. Yeah, exactly.
You know, the King's coming up. I keep telling you guys this, but a month from today, I'll be at Safeco Field, downtown Seattle, with Dave the King of Mexico, watching a baseball game.
That's right.
Dave, what is it that you like about you?
I'm just rad.
Okay. All right. So, anyway,
that's a hell of a heads up, Bean.
It's gonna be a party.
A month from now, he's gonna come up, and you guys are gonna watch a baseball game.
I'm just saying, I've got a lot of blood to mop up in the basement before my first visitor ever comes. I'll tell you that.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So, anyways,
you have that to look forward to. That kind of sparkling conversation.
You know, Dave, man, he's a party.
Yes, he is.
He is. that's kind of the point.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. Like we say, it's a new show. We got Quentin Rampage Jackson on the program today.
Oh, yes.
UFC. Mike, yesterday off the air, was claiming that he was going to punch him right in the face when he came in.
Really,
and
Mike?
And I'm sure that he gets that a lot. You know, being a fighter, I'm sure everybody wants to take him on. But Mike is guaranteeing us an actual battle.
Wow.
As soon as he walks in the door.
I wouldn't call it a battle.
Isn't that great?
I'd call it domination. I mean,
can't wait.
Why?
It's a little lopsided.
Why would that's what we're saying though? But why would you want to treat a guest that way?
Whatever.
To dominate,
he's
man.
A lot of balls wearing that dog chain around his neck, like he's tough. Whatever. What's he ever done? But
he's the light heavyweight champion of the UFC. That's what he's done.
Oh yeah,
right. But other than that,
Also
on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
By the way, it's a rumble chain, is what it is. They call it a rumble chain.
A rumble chain.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not positive I have the details of this story straight, but I think Bean is shooting cats with BB guns.
That's not
Bean.
No.
And we need
no,
to get to
that's
the bottom.
Not what happened.
I am shocked.
That's not
that's
what happened.
That's not what happened. No, that's not it at all.
Hmm. Okay.
But there is trouble in the neighborhood, and I will fill you in.
Last time there was trouble in the neighborhood, Bean had a chicken put down. So
yes,
I didn't have anybody
that.
Put down
or something. Oh,
come on.
Bean, 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 Bean.
And we have to talk to one of our new interns, Shaolin Robot.
The best.
Fascinating.
Magic.
Yes.
She's just magic. There are no words to describe, but we're going to give it a shot today.
All right.
And also, don't forget our breakfast with Linkin Park. We've got your tickets coming up just after 6 o'clock here on K-Rock. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 547. Coming up just after the top of the hour, your tickets for our breakfast with Linkin Park.
Oh!
You're going to have to earn them, though, as we play
the hardest game in the world!
Is that easy?
Well, that game's hard, Kevin.
We're going to do that just after the top of the hour, 1-800-520-1067.
And if you can't be there with us Friday morning, be sure to tune in to hear Breakfast with Linkin Park at around 8 o'clock. And in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll give away that trip to see the White Stripes in Mount Rushmore, too. So Friday, big show here on the Kevin and Bean program. It's 5:48 Wednesday morning. Ralph Harmon is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Congratulations to the Killers lead singer Brandon Flowers, whose wife Tana gave birth to a boy over the weekend in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hope they needed something nutty.
No word yet on the name of the baby. It is their first child. Fortunately, Brandon was there for the event since the group's on a brief break from their summer tour schedule, which will take them to Europe starting August the 14th. So things timed out pretty well. Got to see the birth of his little baby. Congratulations to Brandon and his wife. And our consolation goes out to Fall Out Boy bassist Pete Wentz, who apparently proposed to Ashley Simpson.
Oh, no.
Before his band performed at New York's Live Earth concert.
Oh, no.
And Ashley accepted.
Lame.
Oh.
Hasn't he suffered enough being in Fallout Boy?
That's what I was thinking. I feel bad for the guy. Ashley wasn't expecting things at all, according to friends. It was a total surprise. Pete whipped it out.
Oh, hey now.
A big engagement ring, that is. Dropped down on one knee and asked Ashley to be his bride. Ashley said it was romantic and sexy and that she said yes right away. And Pete said, "You're going to keep getting plastic surgery. Look like your sister, right?" She said, "Yeah, sure. Whatever it takes."
Did she really say yes, or did she lip sync yes? Does it say in the article?
Oh, no, you did!
Whoa!
Gisele Bündchen.
What was that?
I don't know what that noise was.
I don't know. I was waiting for the bell. Is apparently not happy that New England Patriot quarterback boyfriend Tom Brady's old girlfriend, actress Bridget Moynihan, who is pregnant with his offspring,
right,
is due to give birth on Friday. Just because it also happens to be Gisele Bündchen's birthday.
Awesome.
There's a little reminder for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The New York Post says tension between the two has grown so intense that they recently fought openly in front of other hotel guests in the Napa Valley while they were standing there.
Jeez, what a bitch.
Gosh, I hope this doesn't affect his play this season. Yes, everything is coming to plan. First, quarterback Tom Brady loses his mind over women troubles, and now Michael Vick kills dogs.
The Eagles will be the last team standing the way it's
going. They will. The rest of the quarterbacks just losing their minds. They're killing dogs, knocking girls up.
King of Mexico's on suicide watch.
I know. It's awesome. Can't wait. Actually, you shouldn't feel too bad for Gisele Bündchen because Forbes...
She's hot.
Well, that. She's got that. But Forbes magazine just released their list of the richest supermodels yesterday.
Tell me more, Professor.
Gisele Bündchen, number one. Top of the list.
Dude, wow. No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
You know what she makes a year posing for pictures in underwear?
No.
I can't imagine.
Keep in mind, she is the flagship set of boobs for Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
Right.
$5 million.
Oh, please, Kevin. Don't insult her.
$15 million.
She hasn't got out of bed for $5 million.
$25 million.
Psycho Mike.
That's $50 million.
$33 million
Holy
a year.
Crap.
She pulled in $33 million.
Oh, my God.
That's more than Alex Rodriguez makes playing for the Yankees, by the way.
Wow.
It sure is.
She looks a lot better doing it, too.
Yes.
Although, in Alex's defense, I don't think Gisele could hit 33 home runs already this season.
I bet she could with her cans.
Yeah, maybe. But in her defense.
$33 million. I'd like to remind you again, by the way, that the salary for the President of the United States of America, the hardest job in the world, $400,000 a year.
The hardest job in the world.
That's what it should be. We should be paying our supermodels like that.
But who does a better job at their job? Gisele Bündchen as a supermodel or George W. Bush as president?
Well,
I think
Gisele.
You should be paid according to your performance.
Boobs.
That's the way capitalism works.
So President Bush should be paying to have the
Yes, he should be giving us a small stipend for staying in office.
We would all be living on Skid Row, Ralph, if that were the policy of this country, where you get paid according to your performance.
Here is the rest of the top 10 supermodels. By the way, the difference between 1 and 2 is insane. Gisele Bündchen makes $33 million a year, as I mentioned. Kate Moss, number two.
Oh, my God.
$9 million.
She's hideous to me.
I agree. I never thought she was attractive.
Skinny.
Well, if you mean by
ugly,
skinny and unattractive, and with bad teeth. Yeah.
What's good about her?
Dude, she does blow.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying as far as a model, how is she the second highest paid model?
Ah.
I think a lot of it has to do with her celebrity in Europe and the endorsement contracts that she has.
That's
because of that.
Yeah,
because she's just, she's like Paris Hilton over there. She's just famous.
She has the body of a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, God.
Number three on the list, Heidi Klum.
Yeah.
Sure. She makes only $8 million.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not bad.
Adriana Lima.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking
Number
about.
Number four on the list, makes $6 million a year. Alessandra Ambrosio.
Oh, yeah.
Also makes $6 million a year. Carolyn Murphy makes $5 million a year. Puts her number six on the list. Natalia Vodianova.
Oh, I don't know her, but...
You know her if you saw her.
All right.
She's okay. 4.5 mil, number seven on the list. Karolina Krakova. It's number eight on the list. Daria Werbowy.
Okay.
Certainly never heard of her.
Daria Werbowy is number nine on the list, $3.5 million, and Gemma Ward rounds out the top ten with just a paltry $3 million a year.
Speaking of models, did you see Jimmy Kimmel last night? He had Petra Nemkova on.
Oh!
I love her so.
She's not even on the list.
Yeah, she's something.
Well, you know,
she's my favorite. Palm tree modeling doesn't pay nearly as much as lingerie.
She's not a palm tree
model. Oh, no, she isn't?
No.
Oh. Even more disturbing news coming out of the story about professional wrestler Chris Benoit and the murder-suicide that happened in his home a few weeks back.
Mike.
The medical examiner's report is back, and apparently Chris injected himself with steroids not long before he killed his wife and seven-year-old son and then hung himself. Steroids, Psycho Mike, steroids. You hear me? You listening to this story at all?
Uh-huh.
Apparently, he had also sedated his son before he killed him.
Oh, my God.
Xanax showed up in his son's system when they did the tests. And his wife, Nancy, also had Xanax and hydrocodone in her bloodstream as well before she was killed. So, yeah, looks like he may have sedated his family before he took their lives.
Jeez.
Which I guess is good news if there's any kind of silver lining, right?
I suppose.
I mean, it's not much. It's not much consolation.
He had 10 times. I mean, he's
10 times the testosterone in his body from normal.
Yeah.
Mike.
Psycho Mike.
Yeah, it's all natural, bro.
It's all natural. 10 times the level.
Yep.
For like a 35-year-old guy, whoever old he was.
It's a real man.
Speaking of real
men. He needed the nudicles. That's what he needed.
He needed
to have those fake plastic dog testicles put in instead.
Dave Chappelle is recovering after a visit to the ER. He was checked into an undisclosed Los Angeles hospital Saturday because he was suffering from... Everyone?
No.
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Dehydration.
Apparently he was treated and released a few hours later. His publicist said it was exhaustion. He had been traveling. He's fine. Well, then why did he go to the ER if he's fine? And second of all, how tired is it to travel?
Was he working? Did he have
no.
a very rigorous schedule?
Traveling! The guy hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything in a year. How is he exhausted?
He wasn't spending 18 hours a day making a movie or anything like that?
No!
There always has to be more than that. I don't buy exhaustion. I don't know a single soul who's gone to the hospital because they're tired. You know what they do? They sleep.
Listen, Dave Chappelle broke the stand-up performance record in April. Remember when I did that story at the Laugh Factory?
That's
he did a six-hour set.
Right.
Didn't go to the hospital then.
Fine. Nope.
If he was going to be exhausted at any time in his life or career, wouldn't that be the moment? No, fine.
Wow.
But traveling, just knocked him out. All those first-class seats and, woo, cocktails.
Well, he had to take a limo ride to the airport, and then he had to get on a plane and fly first class somewhere and then get on the other end.
Well, now I see what you're talking about.
No problem. Wow.
And Paris Hilton's threatening us once again. Now that she's out of jail, she has announced she is working on her second CD. Once again, she's working with producer Scott Storch.
Yeah.
I've been working on it for a few weeks, said Paris. Sources, according to E! Online, sources say she's taking her musical career very seriously. She takes voice lessons several times a week. Well, it's a little late for that, isn't it, Paris Hilton? Geez, you know, I always wanted to be quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, but I never quite learned how to throw a tight spiral. Maybe I'll start practicing on that after they give me the job. You've all ass backwards.
I have some tape of her taking those singing lessons.
Oh, I'd love to hear
that. Yeah, open your mouth.
Yeah, but you...
Open your mouth. Listen. Yeah, just right down here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Right there.
All right.
It's like, they call it mystery meat.
Yeah, they call it, all right. And finally, someone
is giving William Shatner a show, another show that I can really get behind.
Excellent.
Whatever with your Larry King. Whatever with your 60 Minutes. William Shatner's getting his own talk show.
Really?
Yep.
Fantastic.
A new show is launching on the Biography Channel where he will interview actors and politicians. It's entitled Shatner's Raw Nerve. And he promises to ask difficult, intriguing questions and make his guests share strange and unknown stories about them.
Hmm. Okay.
I think that'd be awesome.
I'm in.
Shatner interviewing people?
Sure.
I guess. I don't know how he would do.
Better than Larry King, that's
well,
for sure.
No question about that.
Oklahoma, y'all. On the end. Maybe take a phone call?
Tell Ralph the question he asked Daniel Potter, the movie's Harry Potter, about the book this Friday, Kevin.
Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, first he asked him, do you wear glasses in real life?
Wow.
And then he followed that up with, they were talking about the book that's coming out Friday, and he said, do you think this one will be made into a movie?
No way.
I brought it in. I'll play it for you later.
Oh, that's
spectacular.
Magic. That's magic.
See, Larry's never heard of Harry Potter. It doesn't know that all the books are being made into movies. It's just brand new. Like, who's this kid in front of me? What do I have to talk to him about?
Wow. Larry's checked out. I'm obsessed with him now. He's gotten so bad, and yet he still has, I think, the highest ratings on CNN, doesn't he?
Well, he's an icon. Yeah. There becomes a stage in certain careers where you just become an icon and it doesn't matter what you do anymore in terms of your performance. Everyone should be judged. Look, he was talking about Dick Clark earlier today.
Yeah.
Bean was. I mean, there are certain TV icons that people just accept as part of their lives and they watch out of habit almost.
And I think physically he's melting. You get the idea? He's just going to just...
Well, the weight of his head is just crushing his body. It's just gravity.
It really is.
Kevin, by the way, not far from Larry King with the whole head thing and the confusion
thing. That's true.
Thing.
Think about the comparisons.
He's heading in that direction.
Massive skull. Yep. Inability to ask a coherent question.
I wonder if I'm
not
his...
Not knowing the guests.
The guests are?
Yeah.
I wonder if I'm his biological child and I just didn't know it.
Well, he's gotten around, you know, seven marriages and stuff. It's very possible he could have cruised through Arizona, won a promotional tour, and left little King DNA behind. That's all I'm saying.
But you can say what you will about his ratings. Because of his show and its cachet, he does get the most incredible guests.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's the guy who had the Beatles reunion last week.
Yeah, and he calls him by the wrong name.
So I know. George. I'm not saying it's not wasted.
George, where were you? When John died.
It's Ringo.
I was thinking that.
My favorite part was...
Larry?
Afterwards, when they were doing a plaque dedication ceremony at the hotel to celebrate the Beatles' Cirque du Soleil show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He thanked everyone who participated, including the widow of George Hamilton.
Oh, good.
was she there?
I didn't know she had anything to do with it.
I want to thank Olivia, George Hamilton's wife.
Whatever her name is.
George Hamilton.
I have the Beatle thing if you want to hear it. This is Larry talking to...
He's talking to Paul and Ringo, asking where they were when John died. And when he gets to Ringo, that's when things go off the rails.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, in my home in Sussex.
Somebody called you?
Yeah. My manager at the time called me. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
No, an owl flew in the window with a note.
Yeah, he just got a bad vibe.
George, where were you?
George. No, this is Ringo. Yeah.
Ringo, where were you? Ringo?
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George was
there.
You weren't, Larry.
Shut up. It's my turn.
I know, but you got your name wrong,
Ringo.
I know.
Ringo. Give him a break.
We can't
anyway,
cut it.
I was in the Bahamas.
He's really nailing him.
Well, he is. I mean,
he's Ringo.
Come on. There's two Beatles in front of you, right?
I know.
Four of the most famous men on the planet were the Beatles. Everyone knows their names. If you've never heard a Beatles song, you know John, Paul, George, and Ringo were the Beatles.
George. Well, I was going to think you and George.
No, you weren't.
I like Paul McCartney. Doesn't let him slide.
No, it just busted.
That's good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Verhoeven, a director of some talent, unless he's doing Showgirls.
Oh, no, we love him for Showgirls.
About?
Best
oh, come
movie
on.
Ever.
That's one of the best worst.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
That's really,
really
bad.
Really yes. bad. But he does good work, like Total Recall, I really liked.
Yeah, that was good. Was
Basic
movie.
Instinct, the first one, good mm-hmm. stuff. So he's hit and miss. He's 69 years old today.
Ding.
Yeah, I thought I'd get a snicker at a bean or something. Usually it's automatic. Whoa. Jack Irons, former drummer for Pearl Jam, is 45 years old today. Vin Diesel.
What?
Actor. Is 40 years old today. Darren Malakian.
Oh, no.
Guitarist for System of a Down. He's 32 years old today.
Right on.
System of a Row Down? Is that what we're calling
it? Yes.
And Kristen Bell. actress Kristen Bell, who plays Veronica Mars, of course, on Veronica Mars, which sadly has now been canceled. She is 27 years old today, and we love
Dave, her. We're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you. I'm in love with Kristen Bell. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now. Dave's the Larry King of our generation.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you for being on. It's the final word, George.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
That band we're going to have breakfast with on Friday morning, it's Breakfast with Linkin Park.
And right now, I guess, is the easiest way in the world to win, right? I mean, it's practically just like dialing the phone. That's all you got to do, right?
Yeah, it's relatively simple.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I was wrong. It's not simple at all. It's actually the hardest game in the world. Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bane.
Mr. Announcer Man, what have you and Mrs. Announcer Man been up to? We haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Nothing but humping.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
You should see the knot on her head from the head boy.
Oh, well, I guess I should have asked.
Bam, bam, bam.
So you heard...
Sorry, next door neighbors.
You heard all about this breakfast with Linkin Park we're doing at a super secret location Friday morning. Not only do we have tickets for that on the line, but everyone who gets in will also receive tickets for the Project Revolution tour that features the band Linkin Park again. Also, My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, and more. Mr. Announcer Man, that show is July 28th at the Hyundai Pavilion. Tickets are available and on sale now, but that's what we've got to give away this morning.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Now please explain to the people that are on hold how they're going to play the game.
We will play for you the title of a Linkin Park song. All you need to do is to identify that song. Oh wait, I almost forgot. Those titles will be backwards.
And that makes it the hardest game
in the
world.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Let's give it a try. Who's contestant number one, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Bob. He's from Huntington Beach, California. He's a retail manager.
All right, Bob, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your Linkin Park song backwards. One more time. We'll let you hear it two times. Here you go.
Bleed it out.
Nice.
Whoa, I mean, yes. Well done.
Nicely done. You're into the breakfast, Bob.
Nice. Thank you.
Hold on.
See how easy it is.
No kidding. I'm very impressive. All right, who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Justin. He's from Moreno Valley.
Morning, Justin.
Morning.
You ready for your song backwards?
Do it.
Here you go.
Mun. Mun.
I hope you get that one.
Oh, come on.
Say mun?
I will kill you.
It's, right. And we said it backwards twice. Huh?
What did he say?
He said faint.
He said faint.
Faint.
Numb.
Holy crap.
It's about the same forwards as it is backwards, Justin. Faint? Sorry about that.
He's the dumbest guy in the world.
By the way, the problem is that Bob was so phenomenal that he really does set up everybody else to look bad. But anybody should have gotten that one. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Mun. Faint? Mun. Next up is Debbie. She's from Montebello.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey.
Did you get that last one? Excellent.
Kind of.
Mun.
Kind of. All right, here's your song backwards. I'll play it for you twice.
Ne-i-ne.
One more time.
Ne-i-ne.
Oh, man.
Faint?
Say faint. Go ahead. Dare you.
Do it. Do it. No, don't say that. Say the real title.
Okay,
but you want to say it forward, though.
That's backwards. You need to figure out what it is.
See, we're playing it backwards. You say it forwards.
In the end?
Yes!
In the end.
Oh, how about that?
That was a stab in the dark, wasn't
it? Did I not explain these are backwards?
That was a stab in the dark. All right, we'll see you there.
Well done, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.
Wow, and Project Revolution tickets, very impressive. Who's our next contestant?
John from the LBC!
Hey, John. You ready for your song backwards?
Yep.
Here you go.
One
more time.
I used to date her.
Faint.
No mocking, Mr. Announcement. They're under enough pressure.
What's? Oh, so sorry. What I didn't hear what he said. What did you say?
He said, that's where I belong.
Oh.
Breaking the habit.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry, John.
Breaking the habit. This game is a little hard.
It's the hardest game in the world! Next up is Erica. She's from Pacoima. She's 16 years old, so get those dirty thoughts out of your mind.
Erica, hi.
Hi.
Linkin Park fan?
Yep.
All right, here you go. This is your song backwards.
Yep.
One more time.
Yep.
She's listening to the radio in the background. That's going to screw
Big
her
mistake.
Up.
Big mistake.
That's painful.
Erica?
Erica, you need to pay attention to us on the phone instead.
Look over here! Look over here!
She's listening to the radio in the background. It's got a long delay.
All right,
all right, we need an answer.
Listen to us.
Faint.
There's faint.
Oh, Erica. Yeah.
Sorry?
Hey, might be a good hint for other contestants on this and other games is really just listen to the phone. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Stephanie. She's from Anaheim.
Hi, Stephanie.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for your song?
Sure.
Here you go.
Ngilar.
One more time.
Ngilar.
The hardest game in the world.
Linkin Park song.
Oh, my God.
You've heard the title backwards. Now tell us what it is forward.
Flip it around and pronounce it.
Why are we whispering?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
To build the drama.
Stephanie?
And the name of that song
is...
sorry. You want to take a guess at least? Can't think of one Linkin Park song. Yeah, Crawling is what we're looking for.
It's the hardest game in the world!
I hear that.
Time for one more? Two more?
Sure.
What do you got?
Let's do two more.
Brian from Cerritos is up next.
Hey, Brian.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Brian, forgive me for interrupting, but what do you do for a living?
Quality assurance for a vitamin manufacturer.
Quality inspector.
That's right. We have QA inspector, and we don't know what that means.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Okay, now I know. All right, let's listen up. Here's your song title backwards.
First of all, that's no.
One more time.
First of all, that's no.
Faint.
Song title forward, please.
Another guy listening to the radio. Another rocket scientist.
Somewhere I belong.
One step closer.
Oh,
nice try. It wasn't a bad guess, though. About the right number of syllables. All right, one more contestant, Mr. Announcer Man.
Joel from Monrovia. He's a construction worker.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready for your song?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Her message, yum.
One more time.
Her message, yum.
Good luck, Joel. We want to go out with a win. It's a Linkin Park song, if that's it.
That's the most popular answer, I'll tell you that. It's the one we didn't use.
My December.
No.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
My December. Oh.
Thank you for calling. Can you just peek, Mr. Announcer Man?
I'm better now.
Oh, that's ugly.
I have to go change my pants.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Goodbye.
Let me tell you who's not a popular guy.
That's true.
That is exactly who I was thinking of. And the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Richard Cheney, joins us on the line right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
So?
You don't even say hello anymore?
I think you're out of line with that question.
Well, what?
Okay. Not a very pressing question.
Still, you're
Listen.
Out of line.
All right.
Once you get in line.
Okay. Mr. Cheney, according to a recent poll released this week, 54% of Americans would like to see you impeached. And by the way, that includes 17% of Republicans. That has to be troubling to you.
54%?
Yeah.
Yes.
So 46% think I'm bitching.
Well, I don't know that they'd go that far. They don't
say bitching.
My figures say bitching.
Bitching, okay. So that doesn't bother you. You're not afraid about everybody getting the wrong idea or whatever.
No, I'm almost out of here. I don't care. By the time they try to impeach me, I'll be back in my crypt. I mean, back in my home.
Now, how about there's also a movement afoot, including some pretty high-profile congresspeople who would like to see the president impeached. Would you like to see that happen? Because then you move up a notch.
Yeah, that'd be funny. I think I'd like to take the president hunting.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's what.
Oh, you have your weapon there with you?
Always.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Since the last, take it from me.
Nope.
Well, we wouldn't do that. Certainly not.
I didn't think so.
Since the last time we spoke to you, Mr. Cheney, your friend Scooter Libby had his prison time commuted by the president. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that, if you thought that was the appropriate measure for Mr. Bush to take.
I'm sorry, who?
President Bush.
Scooter who?
Scooter Libby?
Scooter Libby.
No, it's not.
He was your chief of staff for like 6 years.
No, no. It's not. I can't picture the face.
He's the fall guy. He took the fall for you.
Not ringing any bells.
You're saying you don't know Scooter Libby?
Oh, yeah, I remember him now. Little guy.
Oh, you do?
Little guy. Used to go around on a scooter.
I don't think...
Yeah, he was
I
on a Razor. He's on his Razor scooter.
I don't think so, no.
So we called him that. Yeah, I thought it's the president's discretion to do what he likes with those sentences.
Right.
Uh-huh. So it's really not my place to say. I mean, he was just doing what he thought... I told him to do. That's what he thought he could do.
I was going to say, a lot of people think your hand is up the president's ass. And
oh, sorry, I can't hear you. Oh, it's loud. What was that?
I think Kevin was suggesting that maybe you have maybe too much influence on Mr. Bush.
Sorry, once again.
Now, here's the thing that struck us as very, very funny, is there's a ton of investigations going on about the behavior of you and the president, and they've come to you and they've asked for some paperwork. They want to find out some answers to some questions, and you're saying, I don't have to respond to your inquiries for paperwork because I'm not part of the executive branch. The vice presidential office is not part of the executive branch, is your argument.
That's
as
correct.
To why you don't have to hand over the
That's
paperwork,
correct.
Right?
I'm not part of the executive branch.
But you are the vice president. That is almost as high up as you can get in the executive branch.
But I am also king of Cheney Land.
No, I think you're the president of the Senate.
Yes, but I'm also king of Cheney Land.
Okay.
But wait a minute. Separate
king of
monarch?
Cheney Land still yes. does not take you out of the executive branch, so I don't understand that argument at all.
I'm king of Cheney Land.
All right.
Sticking with it.
So it sounds like the House of Representatives now, because of your stand, says, hey, if you're not part of the executive branch, then we don't have to fund you anymore. So now they're talking about cutting all the money available to you to run your office.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to have to start creating more creatures of the dark. That's all.
Creating more creatures of the dark.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, what?
I fly into your window at night and I bite your neck and then you do my bidding.
Oh.
And I don't have to pay you.
I think that's a vampire that does that.
Once again? Come again?
You're talking about a vampire.
It's all right.
Come on. Mr. Dick, Wright,
Hold on. Got to reload.
Who are you shooting?
What?
Who are you shooting?
Democrats.
Oh, all right.
Dick, last question, and then we know you have to go with your very, very busy schedule, and that is, what do you make of the tremendous number of candidates that are running for president this year? I mean, there's got to be it seems like there's 10 of them on each side of the aisle. Any favorites? Anyone stand out so far as somebody you think would be a good choice?
Absolutely. I like me Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Okay.
Come on. How great a name is Mitt.
It's pretty good.
It is.
Hi, Mitt. What's up, Mitt? Hey, it's President Mitt.
You don't get to be president because of cool name, though.
Oh, but he's so cool if he was Mitt.
Yeah?
President Mitt.
Is that the only one?
I'm President Mitt. President Mitt, meet Senator Battenball.
Mr. Vice President.
I am Ambassador Cap. We could have everyone named after baseball equipment.
You're not thinking about fooling everybody and jumping into the race yourself, are you?
I am Vice President Catcher's Mask. Oh, here comes Senator Home Plate. Oh, I think that'd be fun.
That's what you're about is fun.
I do love fun.
You're downright wacky this morning.
You know why? I've been huffing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
I just took it up. I recommend it. Just get some basic household cleaners and just suck them.
Well, that doesn't seem like good advice.
Suck the cleaner.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
I gotta go.
Bye now. I don't know what those words mean, but sounds good.
Sure,
it's, why
not?
Modest Mouse on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 6:39.
We got Quentin Rampage Jackson on the show later today. Also, more tickets for our Breakfast with Linkin Park. And we'll continue to hand out tickets for White Stripes at the Forum. Those tickets are on sale now, and you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday morning to see the White Stripes at Mount Rushmore in the great state of South Dakota. I can't remember if South Dakota is the one that has the world's largest buffalo that I went to. I think that might have been North Dakota.
Oh, my God. No one cares.
It wasn't a buffalo, though, was it?
Well, I mean, it looked like a buffalo.
Right, but it wasn't.
All right, it wasn't a real buffalo.
Time for the Afro Line. 323-520-AF.
Real buffaloes don't get that big, Kevin. That's why.
A-F-R-O.
I mean, this one was like 45 feet tall.
Do you guys remember, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago when we were doing a skiing broadcast?
Yeah, we went to up to Big Bear.
And one of our friends told us what white pants mean, what girls who wear white pants love the tailpipe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a timely call.
Yesterday I came home from work, and my girlfriend happened to have some white pants on. Should I be happy?
Oh, yeah.
You should be buying her a red jumpsuit apparatus CD is what you ought to be doing.
Hey, I just saw that car that's covered in Jesus stickers. God, that guy's got no life. Oh, I got to get home and play Guitar Hero.
This guy just needs somebody to know something good happened to him.
I got laid last night. Woo!
So happy for you.
Question about Lisa's upbringing?
Lisa, man, did you grow up on a farm? Because you sure know how to raise a girl. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so lame.
What's lame?
Yeah.
Never heard that before.
You guys, it is so hot.
How hot is it?
My balls are sweating, and it's dripping onto my leg.
Okay. Don't feel like you have to share every intimate detail of your life, sir.
Bede was just talking a minute ago about the world's largest things. We had this conversation last week about if it's not the thing, you can't call it the world's largest thing.
Right.
He'll send us a picture of the world's largest chainsaw. It's not a chainsaw. So how does that work?
This just in. Breaking news. World's largest douchebag found in Seattle. Name? Bean Baxter.
Well, that's true.
What about something like I've been to the world's largest frying pan a couple of times, which is in Long Beach, Washington. Now, it technically isn't used as a frying pan because it's on it's up on display. But you could take it down if you wanted to and cook something in it because it's actually made out of metal. Would that count as a frying pan?
Yes, it does.
It's made out of the same metal that frying pans are made out of.
Yes.
In the shape of a frying pan.
In the shape of a frying pan.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, if it was made
you're fine
out of
with
cement,
that.
No.
Cement, no.
Right.
Plastic,
toothpicks?
No.
How about if it's made out of toothpicks?
No.
Okay.
Toothpicks?
I'm just trying to get the rules.
This guy's not ready to move on yet to Harry Potter. He's still thinking back.
Transformers, more than meets the eye. Transformers, robots in disguise. Autobots, Decepticons. Transformers.
I think you like the movie.
A request?
You know, I don't know if I can listen to a radio station who can't play Firecrotch anymore. Oops, did I just get beat for Firecrotch? Maybe I shouldn't say Firecrotch on the radio anymore.
Welcome to our life.
Yeah.
And finally,
I'm about to tie my shoe.
A message from Chris Angel.
If I succeed, your mind will be blown. If I fail, I could die. Here we go. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah!
Best intern ever? On the Kevin and Bean Show. Shaolin Robot has just started working for us in the past couple weeks, and we're all very deeply in love with her. We'll meet her coming up after 7 o'clock here on the World Famous K-Rock. You know, I get flustered when I talk about young Asian women.
You know that, Ralph.
It's not my fault. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I want to give you a little heads up. I took the advice of our in-studio guest Kevin Smith yesterday, went down to Gallery 1988 to see the new art show that's going on there currently.
How was that?
To celebrate cult films. And it is freaking awesome. If you get a chance, you really should head down there and check out the art. Because whether you're an art fan or not, this is the kind of art that everyone can appreciate because it's all our favorite movies. And it's amazing artists doing their interpretations of characters and plots and stories of all these different films. Everything from The Wizard of Oz to Blue Velvet to Kevin Smith's films to A Christmas Story and... Highlander. I mean, just a wide array of amazing, amazing films and some really, really talented artists doing very interesting things with them. So I think you'll get a kick out of it if you get a chance to get down there and check it out. It's really very nice.
I don't go to a lot of art galleries.
Yeah, this is good art for people who don't go to art galleries or museums. It is stuff that you can like and say, oh my God, that's so clever. Look at Dorothy oiling the Tin Man's crotch, for instance. You know,
wow.
There are specific takes on different things from movies that we love. So,
That's gallery1988.com or Kevin's website, which is viewaskew.com. And it's right down there on Melrose next to the Golden Apple if you want to check it out. I think the show's going on for 6 weeks or something
August
like that.
August 10th it wraps up.
There you go.
It's La Brea and Melrose. You can check it out.
Okay.
You can see the painting that I bought.
You bought one?
I did.
Ooh, which one'd you buy?
I got Little Ralphie going down the slide when he goes to visit Santa Claus in A Christmas Story, when he goes to ask him for the BB rifle and Santa Claus kicks him down the slide. An amazing artist named Mark Bodar did a very entertaining picture of that, so that's the one I picked up. Kevin Smith picked up almost everything else.
Did he?
Yeah. He bought almost everything else that was there. By the time I got there, everything was practically sold.
It's no fair to invite rich guys to things like this.
That's the truth. And there's an hysterical painting. I wish I had. I was going to buy it, but there's no way my wife would sign off on hanging it in our house because it was just huge. But it was a scene from The Highlander with Christopher Lambert riding on Sean Connery's back.
What?
Really?
It was hysterical. It looked very gay in it. And it was called, it's a certain kind of magic, which is the name of the song that is from that movie Highlander. And it's very, very funny. So, yeah, check it out. I think you'll get a big kick out of it. Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Congratulations to Killers lead singer Brandon Flowers, whose wife Tana gave birth over the weekend to a boy. In Las Vegas, no word yet on what they're naming the child, but I'm guessing it's going to be normal, because Brandon strikes me as the kind of guy who's fairly normal.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, Brandon, he's your average cat. He's your average American dude.
The kid's
going to
be like Bolo Mustache Flowers.
Is that what you think?
Yeah. All right. Not exactly normal.
We'll wait and see. Maybe be like blooming. Blooming flowers. Something appropriate, you know? Fallout Boy bassist Pete Wentz. Proposed to his girlfriend Ashley Simpson before Fall Out Boy performed at New York's Live Earth concert. And according to PopCrunch.com, Ashley accepted.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my VCast phone. It gets me pumped.
Yeah! Word is that Ashley's been keeping a lid on the news because she doesn't want the overexposure that her sister Jessica had to endure with her marriage to Nick Lachey.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Yeah, we really went out of our way to hunt them down, didn't we? Oh, wait a minute. They put their marriage on television. Our bad. Sorry. People blaming us. You know, Kevin always says sometimes these people just court publicity and court the paparazzi, and then they bitch about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lindsay Lohan certainly falls into that category. You know, she did that famous magazine cover with her holding a gun saying it's war between celebrities and paparazzi.
Right.
Here's an interesting story. Us Weekly magazine has a report that while dining at Nate and Al's, the deli in Beverly Hills, the waitress that was waiting on Lindsay Lohan offered her a quick getaway through the back door. But Lindsay said, no, I'm going to go out the front. And went out the front door to a posse of waiting photographers.
Whore!
If that's the way you're going to roll, then don't bitch to us about how the paparazzi hunt you.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
You had your chance. Speaking of whores, Paris Hilton apparently very eager to become friends with the Beckhams.
It's like, they call it mystery meat.
Sure. She wants to get to know Victoria and David, of course, because they're white hot right now in the center of the limelight.
She can't stand that the spotlight has been taken away from her.
Word is that Posh will have none of it, though. She has let the powers that be know that she has no interest in meeting or hanging out with Paris Hilton.
Yay.
She said she and David would rather not hang out with former jailbirds that could be dangerous to their images. Good for them.
Well, Ralph, you and I watched the Posh special on Monday night on NBC. Didn't she have some dismissive remarks to make about all of these little stars running around with their panties off?
Yeah, she couldn't understand why they weren't wearing underwear, basically, is what she was saying.
It's hot here.
Put your knickers
That's
on.
That's true.
Basically, you know? What was her message?
It's hot.
She said she wears some nice clothes, but other than that, I can't really see much regarding Paris Hilton in terms of why she's so famous here. So,
Neither can we.
Britney Spears is still available for private parties, apparently.
What?
Us Weekly has announced that she's signed on to be the host of the grand opening of LAX, the brand new nightclub inside the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas. So she will be paid an undisclosed amount of money to show up and be the hostess for that evening.
What would you guess? Half a million?
A couple weeks? Yeah, that's what I'm figuring.
Do you think her price has come down a bit in the last, I don't know,
I think it went down, but I think it's come up again because she has certainly been in the limelight and seems to be mounting a comeback. Hopefully this stint will turn out better than her New Year's Eve appearance at Pure, where she had to be carried out of the bar.
passed out.
Yeah. Completely hammered. Oh, no,
way
I'm sorry.
Before midnight, if
I'm
I remember.
Sorry, she was exhausted. That's right. What the
right,
story
right, right,
was.
Right.
More I'm
Britney.
Hot.
More Britney news. Britney just bought herself a Yorkshire Terrier puppy for $3,000.
What?
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. The Humane Society, however, is upset with the pop star, releasing a statement yesterday saying she never bothered to see whether the pet store had purchased the dog from one of those puppy mills or not.
Yeah, you don't buy dogs at pet stores.
Apparently, Britney didn't take much time at all buying the puppy. Walked in, pointed at one, under half an hour, walked out with it. Choosing a dog is a major lifestyle decision that should not be taken lightly, the Humane Society spokesperson said. So they're unhappy with Britney Spears.
That's just like a new purse for a chick, though, right, these days?
Yeah, she'll probably skin it and wear it as a coat.
No, I'm just saying, like, Paris seems to have gone through, like, two or three or four dogs.
Yeah.
Look, this woman can't take care of her two children. What's she doing taking on another responsibility of having to deal with a puppy?
Amen.
I know.
It'd be different if she went to a shelter or a rescue and picked up a dog that was going to be euthanized or something. But no, you go into a pet store and just pick one out of a cage and walk out with it for $3,000. That's just vanity.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Their dogs are better the more expensive they are, Ralph. You don't know that?
I did not realize that, sir.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can't get a good dog for free. There's no such thing.
Looks like Donald Trump may have changed his mind. I mentioned yesterday that NBC has announced they're doing an all-star version of The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Now he says he'd love to have Rosie O'Donnell compete on the show.
Sure, because he could mock her.
Probably.
He could fire her.
And then he could say,
I've made my decision. You're fired.
And I'm sure the attention ratings wouldn't bother him either. She would be treated very fairly, he said. And don't forget, her show got its highest ratings in December and January when she and I were going at it.
Oh, he's taking credit for that?
So I think it would be very good for Rosie.
Yes.
Oh, he's the best.
Rosie's representative, a Cindy Berger, said, it will not happen in this lifetime or beyond.
She can speak Rosie for the next the lifetime?
Apparently so.
Wow.
They will not be reunited in heaven either.
How about that?
That's what she's telling us. You want a picture of Prince, Kevin's favorite performer?
A little pussy midget?
Well, you have to pay him first. Apparently, Prince was kicking off his tour in East Hampton on Saturday night in New York and went off on some people in the crowd who were taking photos of him. He yelled from the stage, stop taking my picture. I get paid to do photo shoots.
It was at a normal concert.
At his concert. The people had paid to show up. They were taking photos of him from the crowd, and he snapped at them.
Wow.
Apparently, they weren't grooving enough for him either, where Prince said, I see some sleeping white folks in the crowd. And he pointed down to the front rows. Some of the white folks in those front rows, Leonardo DiCaprio, John Bon Jovi, Edie Falco, Kelly Ripa, Christy Brinkley, and Angelica Houston. And Angelica Houston can freaking rock, man. She goes off at these concerts, so that's
sure.
really unfair of him. Apparently later at the after party, Prince demanded that the VIP room, where the VIPs were enjoying their VIP drinks, be cleared out before he would get into it. He wouldn't enter the VIP room until all the other VIPs had been forced out of it. He wanted the room to himself.
He's gone bye-bye, hasn't he?
Then he ordered $78 worth of drinks.
For just himself?
For himself, apparently.
Wow.
Very strange. And stars and money, again in the news. Sting and his wife, Trudy, now have to pay up.
For what?
Happened yesterday. They were taken into court by a former chef that used to work for the couple. They have to pay back pay to that young lady to the tune of $51,000 after she won a sexual discrimination suit.
Sexual discrimination?
Jane Martin, the woman in question, claimed she was fired as their personal chef after she became pregnant. She told them that she was pregnant and they fired her. She said that's sexual discrimination and she wants some money, and the judge awarded her $51,000.
Wow.
That's why the police got back together again.
Needs the money.
Sting needs the money. He's got to raise $51,000 somehow.
That's true.
That's right.
That's going to take them a year or two on the road to come up with that kind of scratch.
Actually, probably just one night.
Oh, really? Think he can make $51,000 in one night?
Easy.
Yeah. Well, if you include merchandising, t-shirts, okay. Things like that, yeah. Right. Another reason why you shouldn't hire women, though, ever, right?
Sure. I always said they shouldn't do any work. They shouldn't do any job.
Yeah, you see how they are.
What is wrong with both of you?
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Paul Verhoeven. Dutch director, Basic Instinct, Showgirls, Total Recall.
Ah, get off the planet, there's no oxygen.
He is 69 years old today. Jack Irons, former drummer for Pearl Jam, turns 45. Darren Malakian, guitarist for System of a Browdown, is 32 years old today. Vin Diesel, actor? Triple X, of course. And, what was that Commando Nanny movie he did?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. He's 40 years old. And Kristen Bell, Veronica Mars herself, is 27 years old today.
Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show on the world famous K-Rock.
Oh, come on.
What? God, I hate Kristen Bell.
How dare you?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, time to visit the intern program here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go to the K-Rock website if you are a college student and you're available to be an intern on the program. You can get credit for it. And I guess we get, how many interns do you reckon a year? Maybe six a year, something like that we probably go
That's
through?
About right.
Yeah, maybe eight to ten, maybe. I don't know.
And every once in a while, there's a shining star. There's an intern that comes in, and we just know instantly from the first minute we interview her that it's going to be a very deep and lasting relationship. And I think that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, as we welcome to the studio for the first time, Shaolin Robot.
Yeah.
Shaolin?
Hi.
When Shaolin came in, we like to get a feel for the types of things that they like.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked her what was her favorite movie that she watched recently, and she said American Beauty.
Okay, that
From
came out...
1999, maybe?
Yeah.
And we said, have you seen anything since then? She said, yeah, Spider-Man 3. And then we said, what's your favorite TV show? And I've never heard this answer before, but it's The Loop. Now, The Loop, if I'm not mistaken, canceled after one episode.
Yeah, I saw one episode of
it. Is that true?
Then they put it back on. They started burning them off, though.
Oh,
they have been burning them off this summer. Yeah. Which one is that, Shaolin Robot? What is The Loop?
The Loop is a show about a young man trying to, you know, find his way in society.
Mm-hmm.
He's like me. I feel like I can relate to him, you know, because he's just like a college student. And he's trying to, you know, just get by, use intuition.
But in the history of television, though, that's, in your opinion, the best show that's ever been made?
No, I am also fond of Pimp My Ride.
Oh, yeah, she said that. That's right.
I prefer Pimp My Ride.
She speaks a little like a robot, is why she got the nickname.
And moves and behaves like a robot, by the way.
You do move like a robot, too. That's true.
But unlike a robot, I have a heart.
Well, I can't argue with that.
That's a good point.
That is true.
Now, you have no idea what your dad does or what his tattoos mean.
No.
No idea.
You have no idea what he does for a living.
He's a contractor. That's all I know.
So is Tony Soprano. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
How many tattoos does he have?
Two.
Two tattoos. And you never asked him, Dad, what are those tattoos? What do they mean?
I asked him, but he just shrugs, like, give me a beer. It's not a happy
Give me a
wife,
beer. Yeah, I was talking to her. I was like, if my dad had tattoos that he wouldn't tell me what they are, I would spend my whole life trying to track them down, take pictures of them, whatever, figure it out. And she said, no, we have normal conversations like any family. We sit there at dinner and be quiet. I was like, you don't even talk at dinner? No, we just eat.
He doesn't like to talk.
But you're his daughter.
Yeah. I think he thinks that, as you know, since I'm his daughter, like, he only has to give me money. Like, we don't have to communicate.
Well, that's
healthy.
Sad.
Healthy.
Do you have brothers or sisters?
I have a younger brother.
Does he talk to him?
I think so. He's like the golden child.
No.
Oh, I see.
Mother effer. That's how it works.
Don't need a daughter, right?
That's sad. Now, what about scrounging in dumpsters for food, Shaolin Robot? What is this story? I haven't met you yet, but
hang on.
Apparently, there's something going on that I don't understand.
I want to end with that one because that's the best story. But next, I do want to just bring up quickly your driving skills, because coming into K-Rock, there is a tiny little, 10% grade ramp.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Barely up. You know, you can push your car up it pretty much. And the other day, Ralph was coming to work, and he saw Shaolin Robot just peeling out, just... had them lit up, smoke everywhere. It's like, what the hell is she doing?
The gravity was pulling me down, and I thought a car might be behind me, so I didn't want to, you know, fall into that car.
So you jammed on the gas?
I wasn't aware that my foot was hitting it so hard. But
when there was smoke coming out from your tires and all that noise, did you think maybe I should let up a little?
Maybe, but I wasn't thinking.
Okay.
Kevin, she's an Asian driver. I mean, I don't know what you're kind of expecting.
She tells us driving, by the way.
She tells us that she's a great driver.
Yeah.
I'm a really good driver. I haven't hit anything moving or parked.
Well, I mean, but she leaves a path of destruction behind her. She just doesn't know it.
It's a swath of trouble. Now, let's talk about the dumpster diving. This is the strangest thing I've ever heard. But you were on the phone with, was it Starbucks?
Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
And you were asking them about throwing out their old food.
I heard their food is thrown out every day and replaced.
So that it doesn't get old, right? Stale.
Yeah.
So you were trying to figure out if you could go there at the time that they threw it out and get the food.
Yes, before it is wasted.
Okay.
That sounds very thrifty. That sounds like an enterprising move for a young college student.
Right. But then when I walked in and they told me Shaolin is talking to Starbucks and she's going to go down there. I walked in and I said, well, what are you? She said, I just found out that if I went dumpster diving, if I jumped in a dumpster to get food after they throw it in, that they would physically come out and remove me.
It is apparently against the law, unless I'm a charity.
But I guess the part that's fascinating is I don't know that I would have thought of dumpster diving. I mean, I don't know that I would have taken it to those lengths of calling them and asking them if it's okay. And
but you're not poor and have a father who hates you, Kevin.
Yeah, but her father gives her money. He just doesn't talk
to her. That's my point I was about to make is that you said the only responsibility your father has is to give you money. Is he not really holding up to his end of the bargain if you are now reduced to jumping in a dumpster?
Well, I think he's just trying to let me be free.
Yeah, by not speaking to you?
Or giving you money?
By not speaking to me or not controlling me. Just
right.
Just letting me pursue my own interests, whether it be dumpster diving or not. Well, I just don't like to take no for an answer, so.
Have you gone dumpster diving in the past? You have. Where?
At school.
Do you live at home?
No, I live at school.
You live at school. And you don't have food?
Not most of the time.
That's terrible.
Wow. I don't understand.
Sad. School is UCLA, by the way. Why?
Wait, an Asian chick goes to UCLA?
Why do you not have food? I thought your dad gave you money.
I don't get enough meals. The biggest meal plan is 19 meals a week. And I eat more than 19 meals a week. I kind of eat like 30.
30 a week?
And Ralph's is really expensive food. So
you go dumpster diving.
I go dumpster diving.
So you're eating more than four times a day.
Yeah.
But you look like you weigh about 90 pounds, Shaolin Robot.
I have a really high metabolism and I play racquetball.
Yes.
Well, there you go. So Psycho Mike says, I'll bring you some food. Tell him about the conversation today.
So I said, that's ridiculous. I don't want you dumpster diving. I will cook you food. I cook a lot of food for myself and bring it in Tupperware because I'm like obsessed with my body. So I bring in food for her this morning and I said, hey, Shaolin, I brought you in some food, this and this and this. And she says, for breakfast? I am supposed to eat this for breakfast? This is crazy.
She would rather dumpster dive and have breakfast material than eat your lunch.
And I said, look, I mean, all right, if you're going to bite the hand that feeds, but it's there for you in the refrigerator if you want it.
So you're okay, right? I mean, everything's cool.
Yeah, I'm cool.
You're getting enough food.
Getting enough food.
When was the last time you went dumpster diving? The very last time.
Last week?
Last week.
Wow.
And what did you get out of the dumpster?
I got some chocolate and cheese.
Breakfast of champions?
I want to party with you, cowgirl.
What did the chocolate come in the form of?
A Labrador?
I work there, and they have a lot of events, so I usually pick up the trash before I throw it away.
Oh, I see.
That's
so
good.
You've got an in on the dumpster diving.
Yeah. I get the cheese and chocolate before the other
people
do.
Throw it away. That's awesome.
All right.
That's okay.
So everything's cool, then. You're all right.
It's not being
wasted. Yeah, I'm good.
You're getting enough food.
Sometimes.
Well, that makes us feel bad.
Why aren't you? You're going to eat the food Mike brought you, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to demolish it.
I want to sit and watch her eat. This guy'd be very interesting.
You're a strange person, Shaolin.
She is.
Sometimes I eat with my hands.
Okay.
Hardly relevant, but thank you.
Plus Quentin Rampage Jackson from the UFC.
Fantastic. And Shaolin Robot's going to take him out? Is that the plan?
Yeah. She says she was a – we found out afterwards, after we got off the air, that she was a – she's a bouncer at events at UCLA. And sometimes people go to the manager because she's too physical.
Who hires a tiny little chick to be a bouncer? That's bizarre.
She has a death stare, Bean. She can just stare you away from the door.
She has a death stare.
Yep. Is that what it is?
No one's ever gotten by her. Yeah.
These aren't the droids you're looking for?
That's correct.
I got it. And also, congratulations to Diane Casillas from Buena Park, who won tickets to go see the White Stripes at the Forum Grand Prize drawing Friday morning. Diane's in the drawing to maybe go see them one more time at Mount Rushmore, its destination, or I think they're calling it now, stop, number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA. All right, so I'm out in the yard the other day. This is Bean speaking, and it's always a tragic mistake whenever I leave my house. I shouldn't leave the house because then there's a possibility of encountering other people, and I hate that. But I'm out in the yard the other day, and I hear pop, pop, pop. I hear this little noise in the neighborhood.
Right.
And, of course, I hate that because you know how the damn kids are with their noise. And I look over the hedges and the moat and the electric fence at my place, and I look across the street, and there's a kid out there, and Kevin, you'll appreciate this, with a BB gun running through the neighborhood with a BB gun.
I loved BB butts when I mean BB guns when I was younger.
Pop, pop, pop. And I look, and he appears to be shooting at a cat.
Oh, no.
10
yes.
points.
BB gun. No,
Kevin.
No, not what? 10 points.
Not 10 points. Sorry.
Now, he's shooting at a cat. And my first thought is, well, that's going to leave a mark. Because, I mean, a BB gun from a relatively short distance, I mean, it was probably 12, 15 feet or something like that is all he was shooting at this cat.
That's not that bad. I've been hit with a BB gun many times from that close.
But, I mean, you can comprehend what a BB gun is and that it's not going to kill you. I mean,
by something 10 times your size chasing you?
Yeah.
Because
if you're a cat, you get
scary.
Hit by a BB gun. I mean, that's got to be terrifying for a cat, I would imagine. This sudden, out of nowhere that I can see pain coming. So I can't believe that I'm seeing this. And the kid's like, I don't know, 6 or 8 or something like that. I have trouble telling how old kids are, but he's 6 or 8. So I yell at him, hey. And he looks over at me. I'm like,
did he take a shot at you?
No,
that
he didn't.
That would have been the best. You got a problem with me, old man? Boom, boom.
Just right between the eyes, right?
I'd drop you.
Here's what I did to my wife in Wyoming. So anyway, so I yell, hey. And the guy turns and looks at me. And I said, what are you doing? He said, playing. I said, well, don't shoot the BB gun at a cat. And he just kind of turns and walks away and goes inside. I guess maybe he just figured, hey, I'm being scolded by a big person. I better go inside or something like that, right? And I don't hear any more BB guns. But then I look out, and the same kid now is throwing rocks at the cat.
Oh,
the cat has
God
now moved and has gone over to, like, in front of a tree or something like that. Now he's throwing rocks. And I, stop it. What are you doing? I think the kid misunderstood that I was suggesting that maybe there's a better way to hurt the cat than a BB gun. Oh, rock, man. A rock will do a lot more damage. It's so much bigger. Maybe that's what the kid was thinking.
So he put the BB gun down and then started throwing rocks.
Started throwing rocks at the cat, yes. So I said, listen, dude, don't do anything with the cat. Don't hurt the cat.
Was it your cat or just a neighbor cat?
Neighborhood cat. And I don't know whose cat it was. I don't know if it was a cat that was, you know, in his yard and shouldn't be, or if it's his cat or if it's the neighbor's cat. I don't know what the situation was there. So I thought, well, that's the end of it. And then he goes inside and then I don't see anything else. So then I'm thinking about it after, and I was thinking, you know what? Now I feel like I don't know this family, God forbid. You know, I've only lived across the street from them for 8 years. I don't know this family, but I have some responsibility, certainly, to contact the family to kind of tell them what was going on, right?
No, you don't.
So I bring this up in the office the other day, and everybody's like, get out. What are you talking about? Why would you get him in trouble with his parents, basically?
Because he's on the road to being a psycho killer.
Oh, please. It's a cat.
Yeah, okay. That's how psycho killers start.
I mean, come on.
When they're kids, they torture
don't
small animals.
Don't you have a responsibility as a human being if you get a clean shot at a cat to take it?
No, you don't.
No, Kevin.
You don't. Look, okay. I know you're no cat fan. Picture the story as a dog. How about if it's a dog?
Well,
you want him shooting a BB gun at a dog?
That's a pet.
But it's not completely different. if he's 6 years old and he's shooting BB guns at a dog, don't I have responsibility to tell
his parents? No, but here's what I'll tell you. Every single kid when they're 6 and 8 does a lot of stupid stuff. That just happens.
Yeah,
of course.
But it is if his parents don't know it.
But if somebody's there to tell on you every single time you do something stupid.
Well,
we'd all be in the slammer.
He's not there every single time.
I respect that. Believe me, I do understand that. And I'm not I wouldn't call the parents because the kid was, you know, riding his bicycle without, you know, without a helmet. I wouldn't call on something like that.
Lighting
but, I mean,
fields on fire like Kevin used to do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's shooting a cat with a BB gun. To me, look, I understand what Lisa's saying is while everybody who shoots a cat with a BB gun does not grow up to be a serial killer, the truth is that 100% of serial killers do start with animal abuse. I mean, that is – That is a fact. And that you got to think about that in the back of your mind. That is the type of thing that does concern you. And if I'm a parent, and you know, thank God I'm not, I'd want to know if my kid was out there trying to shoot a cat.
Or maybe the kid grows up to be Michael Vick, you know?
Well, that's a good point. And then Dave, the King of Mexico's heart gets broken because he's...
Then Dave wears my neighbor's jersey. So... Call the neighbor. Don't call the neighbor. I say call the neighbor, and I say it's a slam dunk. Now, I don't know the neighbor, and I don't want to be that a-hole in the neighborhood who's, you know, calling and complaining
then
about their kids.
Then don't call the neighbor.
But I feel like I have a responsibility to call the
kid.
Neighbor.
He's an idiot kid.
But what if his parents don't know?
It's a cat. What's the worst that could happen?
It's a cat is no defense, Your Honor.
I'm just saying.
It's a cat today. What is it tomorrow?
A cat.
Or a dog.
He's being trained properly to hate cats.
How about if it's his little sister?
Because cats blow. I've been hit with a BB gun, I don't know, 20 times. No big deal. So what?
All right. Let's say you're a parent, Kevin. Let's say you have little kids that are like 9, okay? Let's just say, hypothetically, that's the case.
All right.
They're out shooting a cat with a BB gun. A neighbor sees it. You don't know about it. Do you want to know?
I train them well. I would say, congratulations. Here's a blue ribbon. Wait. Did you hit the cat? Yes. Okay. Blue ribbon. By the way, the K-Rock microphones were there.
That hurt. That sounded like that hurt.
Yeah, but that was just a sound effect.
We're going to take a break and take some calls on this at 1-800-520-1067.
Because how about a rat?
No.
Because I saw a PETA sticker on the back of a car that said, rats have rights. And I'm here to say, no. No rights.
I don't think you shoot animals with BB guns. Period.
Just that's a blanket policy.
Yes.
Mosquitoes?
I kind of...
Good luck. I mean, come on. If you can get one, you can have
I'm saying there's got to be a line you draw, right? There has to be a line.
It's an insect.
My line right above cats. Your line will blow cats significantly.
My line is insects.
1-800-520-1067. Am I the neighborhood rat if I call and tell the parents that
the
kid is shooting the BB gun?
You're the man holding the kid down.
But holding the kid down from what? From animal abuse. That's what I'm holding the kid down
man.
From. Should I not have yelled anything to the kid? Should I just have watched as the kid chased the cat around the neighborhood?
You should
with
have taken the gun and shot the kid.
That's what I was just going to say. That would have taught him, by the way.
Yeah.
That's how I got shot with a BB gun the first time, as I was shooting a BB gun and somebody grabbed it from me and shot me.
And said, how's
oh, really?
That feel?
And I was like, ow! Now give me that back. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
K-Rock microphones were there. Is that what you're telling me? Okay. I don't know that that helps. Those of you just joining us... Oh. How are you gonna be coming at me like that? Look, here's the deal. For those just joining us, I'm in the front yard and I see a neighbor kid who I don't know shooting a cat with a BB gun. I shoo the kid away, then he starts throwing rocks at the cat. Then I tell him to stop that. He goes inside. I think it's done, but now I feel like I've got a nagging responsibility to contact the parents and let them know. Kevin says, it's only a cat. I'm a bad madman. Shut up. Let's talk to Amanda in Woodland Hill. She's down there on line 8. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number if you got to comment on this. Hey, Amanda, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi, Amanda.
Should Bean tell or not?
Okay. I think Bean should tell about the rock. The BB guns, I'm all for it. My boyfriend shoots the cats in our backyard all the time, literally, like, every day. They're having sex in our backyard. They're crapping in our backyard. BB guns aren't going to hurt the cat. Throwing rocks, that's a little extreme.
Okay, so you draw the line above BB guns. BB guns are fine with rocks.
BB guns are okay. BB guns are okay. Rocks, no.
All right.
Rocks can kill the cat. BB guns carrot.
All right.
I have sympathy to your situation with the neighbors, and I think it needs to be addressed. I'm sure you've done what you can in terms of talking to the cat owners. But what makes you think the BB gun is going to help if it happens every day that the cat keeps coming back? Clearly, the BB gun is not incentive enough to get the cat to leave your property.
See, it's not even that annoying. It doesn't even hurt enough to get them to not come back.
No, exactly. So it's not going to kill them. But, I mean, you get them away for that second. I mean, they're having sex on your wall. So you're just, like, shooting at it. Just, like, get out of my sight for a second.
Don't BB guns, like, don't kids lose eyes to BB guns?
The bad ones do.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
The kids that deserve it do.
Seriously. How hard is it to shoot a BB gun?
All right, thank you for the call. Let's talk to a veterinarian. How about that? Let's go down to Pedro and talk to Marina, who's on the line. Marina, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, doctor. What's up?
Hi, and I was just wanting to give my opinion on abusing cats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like cats myself. And
rightfully
my brother,
so, because they blow.
Yeah, my brother actually has always abused cats, and he's 36 now and still not a serial killer that we know of.
Right.
And, but he puts rat traps out in his yard because he can't stand when cats go in his yard.
Jesus.
And
And actually, when he was in high school, he had to write an essay on the process of something. So he wrote an essay about sticking a firecracker in a cat's butt.
Oh,
to blow it
wow.
up.
All right, there's, wow. your brother has problems.
Yeah, that is. But let me ask you this, Marina, because we're short on time. We got a lot of calls. You're a veterinarian. Kevin says a BB gun is so insignificant that it doesn't even hurt. What's your opinion on that?
It hurts a little.
Oh, actually, I think you got the wrong person because I'm not the veterinarian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I went to the wrong line. So your brother did this and he didn't turn into a serial killer. I apologize. This is Marina now in San Pedro.
Okay.
Good morning, Marina.
Yeah,
most people don't turn into serial killers. I mean, I'm not suggesting that they all do. Hi, Doc. You're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hello, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that BB guns actually can hurt animals. So I pulled a lot of them out from underneath the little BB, you know, bullets. Out from underneath the skin, and I once had to take a cat to emergency surgery because it actually went into the abdomen and perked its intestines.
Oh.
So it really can hurt cats, and I mean, it's one thing like if we throw rocks at each other and whatever, and it hurts a little bit, and haha. But you know, when,
so you're fine if we throw rocks at people.
I'm fine if we throw rocks at people,
just
I'm,
not
you know,
cats.
I'm fine if we want to throw, you know, shoot BB guns at people, but. You know,
so you're fine if we shoot
back.
BBs at people. That you're okay with.
Yeah.
Not a cat.
Can't
That's what you're saying, Marina. Oh, dear
but,
God.
She's saying cats can't are- throw back.
Yeah, they're defenseless. I think
well,
that's
they should
the
think
difference.
About that before they're horrible pets.
They are.
You know,
this is Marina, who's a vet, who's saying that cats are horrible pets. What is going on with you people,
Look,
by the way?
They are. There's no question about that. Cats blow.
I had cats. I love cats. They're phenomenal.
Yes,
they're great pets.
Cats do blow, by the way, in comparison to other domesticated animals.
Right.
But that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it's not
Everybody's
the point.
Making this point. Well, my brother used to do this, and look, most people don't end up being serial killers, so why is it a problem? It doesn't mean that they're not pussies, though. Complete pussy. This is a clear
yeah,
sign.
You're just a stupid kid.
No.
Yeah,
it's a very, very desperate attempt to gain empowerment on a defenseless animal.
All right, hold
okay,
on a sec,
Mr.
Dr.
Make
Phil.
More out of it than it needs
no,
to be.
No, it totally is. Just
hold
same
on,
as,
Dr.
Same
Phil.
Stupid
let's,
lightning.
Let's go to Trisha with the question at hand, which is, should I tell the neighbor? That's really what we're debating here. Trisha is in an imaginary place called Menaphy, I think.
Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Tony Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
It's Menaphy's out by Marietta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do not tell the parents. Do not tell the parents.
Do not tell
the neighbor's 10-year-old kid brought his mom's sex toys out and was chasing my son around with them. Yeah. And I told, and my son told me about it, so my husband and I decided to go and confront the parents. You know, we told him not to do it, but then we decided, you know, the parents need to know he's doing this. So we went over, and my husband was just standing there to support me, but I started to talk to the parents, and they went ballistic on me.
Yeah.
I think I know why. I don't think that the husband knew about the sex toys,
oh.
but it just went all out of proportion.
So that's
it
a bad surprise.
It started a feud a year and a half later. We just moved this weekend. We had to sell our house. My husband and I are going through divorce because when I, you know, they were doing this, like throwing M80s at our house started to get
Oh, aged. My God.
See, that's the problem.
They called the police on us for all kinds of stupid things. And you know, my husband, you know, is also a cop, and I thought, you know, he needed to step up, and he didn't. So I decided, you know, we were going through a divorce. We sold our house.
And you've learned not to stick your nose where it doesn't belong.
I think she's learned not to live in the 909.
Right.
That's a good point. That's excellent advice.
Nice. And the people and the neighbors, they moved from Huntington Beach. So I don't know if it's the water out here, but people are crazy out
yeah. What no. if a kid throws a sex toy at a cat? Is that okay?
That's fine. I think that's
fine.
Great.
No, okay.
That's fine as long as you do, as long as you don't go talk to the parents.
All right.
Okay.
So don't
All
talk
right.
to the parents.
You've given me something to think about. Thank you very much for the call.
So
right,
what
we
are
have
you
to take
do?
A break. I think you know, at the risk of starting a neighborhood feud, I think I still have a responsibility to the cat and to the parents to let them know what the kid's doing. I just think I do. I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with myself if something like that continued. I didn't try to stop it. But
it's Kevin and the man at 7:52. Okay, producer Lightning shot a cat last week. Okay, 7:56.
How do you not get to that part of the story? By the way,
jeez,
how do you bury the lead?
He's not six or eight, right?
I mean, let me talk about my problems on the island. What should I do? I'm in a moral quandary. Meanwhile, Lightning shot one last week.
Yeah, well, that is trouble. Hey, listen, Ralph's here. He's got the showbiz beat. And then again, Quentin Rampage Jackson joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. More tickets for Breakfast with Linkin Park coming up, too. What's going on, Ralph?
We got to talk to Harvey the Hammer Levin this week.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
About what?
Sure.
Great story on TMZ today about Gary Dorden, star of CSI,
mm-hmm.
who just beats the snot out of a TMZ photographer.
Oh.
No kidding. Outside of
really?
Yeah. Yeah, just bounces his head off the concrete. Just goes ape poop all over him.
Seems like that's not good.
No. So we got to talk to Harv and see what the bottom of that is. Apparently, Gary Dorden didn't like his photo being taken.
Hmm.
Did not respond well to that. Did not like that experience.
Where was he going?
He was pulling up to a nightclub on his Ducati motorcycle.
Clearly ducking publicity.
Hopped off, saw some guy with a camera pointed at him, and just, I think he thought he was another photographer who apparently had given him a hard time at another location.
But
it
was, but mistaken identity.
Mistaken identity, and this guy... caught the the bad end of CSI right there.
Wow. That's not good.
So we'll talk to Harvey about that. Also, more news about celebrity violence. We heard about it yesterday. The details are starting to come in about the battle between John Lovitz and Andy Dick. Apparently, John Lovitz kicked Andy Dick's ass at the Laugh Factory the other night.
What was the issue?
If John Lovitz is beating you up, you're screwed. You're just screwed. Love
yeah, Andy Dick needs a BB gun.
That's what he needs.
Wasn't my wife reminded me yesterday after the show that wasn't Lovitz in his car at the end of Phil Hartman's street crying on, you know, after they found out that he was dead? Like, he's super emotionally close to him.
Well, they were best buddies.
Yeah.
They went all through the Groundlings together, had become close friends there, was on Saturday Night Live together.
And Phil Hartman somehow is involved in this War of Words?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a long time... battle going on between John Lovitz and Andy Dick over the death of Phil Hartman. Here's the backstory.
Hmm.
5 months before Bryn Hartman, Phil's wife, shot Phil and herself to death, Andy Dick allegedly gave her cocaine at a house party that John Lovitz was also attending. Bryn Hartman had been sober for 10 years up to that point.
Wow.
And Lovitz blames Dick for giving her the cocaine that threw her off the wagon, and yeah, that was the reason she got hooked again and then killed Hartman and herself 5 months later.
Ah.
So they're at the Laugh Factory.
Wow.
And according to witnesses, Lovitz picked Dick up several times and smashed his head and face into the bar.
Oh, my God.
Causing him to bleed. This isn't the first time they've had words about this, by the way, because John Lovitz took over for Phil Hartman on news radio.
That's right.
Where Andy Dick was also a cast member.
Right.
And apparently,
I guess everybody does love Dick.
Apparently said on the set, I wouldn't be here now if you hadn't given Bryn that cocaine. Then last year, Dick confronted Lovitz at a restaurant, knocking the drinks off his table, saying that he put the Phil Hartman hex on him and that he was going to be the next to die.
Dear God.
Wow.
So there's a lot of bad blood between these two for some time, and I guess anytime they're in a room together, something's going to happen. But John Lovitz roughed him up pretty good.
Sounds like a UFC undercard fight waiting to happen.
I hit his face in the bar. Yeah, that's the ticket.
I can't imagine him roughing up anyone.
I know.
I punched him. Yeah, that's the ticket.
John Lovitz. Hey, this is a great story. Remember I told you yesterday that Lindsay Lohan was in Vegas partying the next day after she had popped out of Promises Rehab in Malibu?
Went right to Vegas.
She went right to, I believe it was Pure that I mentioned, the nightclub in Caesar's Palace. I believe
it was,
because that's where she went back to her room with Chris Sarantakis afterwards. Well, the New York Post sometimes puts these, what they call blind items, in their gossip column.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that you don't know who they're talking about.
Right. They do not establish any names, but they just ask for these open-ended questions with clues in there as to who they're referring to.
And they'll do that if they hear the hot rumor but can't prove it, right?
If they can't substantiate and get a secondary source to sort of vet it for them. So I told you that Lindsay Lohan has voluntarily taken upon herself to wear this ankle bracelet. It monitors your alcohol level by reading your skin.
Right.
Every 30 minutes. Here's the blind item from the New York Post today. Which hard-partying starlet has figured out a way to get high while wearing an alcohol monitoring anklet?
Really?
She was asking where she could score some ecstasy at a Vegas nightclub the other night.
Maybe it doesn't test for that.
It just tests for alcohol. So you can do anything else, apparently, and it's not going to show up. So she's looking for tabs of E to wash down with her Voss water and her sugar-free Red Bull while she's claiming to be sober and wearing voluntarily wearing an ankle
allegedly.
Bracelet. Allegedly.
By the way, in the 12-step program, E in Las Vegas is step 11.
Look.
They want you to do that just to make sure you can handle it.
E is found both in 12 and step. But you can't go 12 steps without E.
Good
That's
point.
All I'm saying.
Good point.
Paris Hilton's got a new album in the works. Anybody?
Did
anyone?
You say new album?
Yeah.
No.
Now that she's out of jail, she said she wants to make the world a better place by gracing it with her music. She's working on a new album with producer Scott Storch, who apparently will produce anyone for a price.
Yeah.
This guy's worked with some real creative forces like Beyonce, Christina Aguilera, 50 Cent, and now he's the driving force behind Hilton.
Hey, for whatever reason, the right combination of people were involved in making that last record, which turned out to be a pretty big hit and spawned a number two hit single.
It was?
Stars Are Blind was a pretty good dance.
Went to number
hit.
Two, yeah.
It was that big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Wow.
That's good advice.
Is that Scott Storch?
No.
I know how I am, so that's fine.
Congratulations to killer singer Brandon Flowers.
Brandon Flowers, as he's known in the Far East, who he and his wife Dana gave birth to a boy over the weekend in Las Vegas. So congratulations to them. And speaking of celebrity births, Gisele Bündchen not happy that Bridget Moynihan's illegitimate Brady child is going to be born on Friday, which also happens to be Gisele's birthday. Of course, she is currently dating New England Patriot quarterback Tom Brady, and the two apparently are going through a lot of intense stress and tension over this pending birth.
What does she want to happen exactly?
The New York Post says they were battling about it openly in front of hotel guests in the Napa Valley recently, so a lot of tension there. Gosh, Tom, I hope that doesn't affect your game at all.
I hate to see the Patriots not do well.
I'm thinking about stuff in the huddle. Oh, geez, I wonder how... Oh, I'm being tackled and broken in half.
Make it so.
This is what happens when you stick around after your girlfriend gets pregnant. This is why we always advise against that.
Just bolt. It's hard to bolt when you're Tom Brady, the New England Patriots. You can't really disappear into the background.
They know where to find you. Tough to be out of the radar, I guess.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kristen Bell. You know her probably better as Veronica Mars.
Oh, tissue.
She is 27 years old today. Tissue, I hardly even know you. Darren Malakian, System of a Down. He is 32 years old today. Vin Diesel celebrates his 40th birthday. Jack Irons, former drummer for Pearl Jam, turns 45. And Paul Verhoeven, director for Basic Instinct and Showgirls, Total Recall, other movies. 69 years old today.
I don't remember anything. It's like it's all a dream to me.
Movie star, that guy. He talks like that.
Yep.
Total Recall. Spectacular. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
He does like to throw that looping left hook, though, and he used it to knock out Kevin Randleman. Good left hook to the bottom.
There was one punch that you threw that dropped Chuck Liddell. Quentin Rampage Jackson, welcome.
Thank you.
And there was so much noise in that place, you couldn't hear what they were saying. You couldn't hear anything. Everybody was just going crazy.
Yeah, man. It was a crazy night.
What was that like for you going in there? I know you've said famously in the past that you're not intimidated by people. You don't feel like you're going to lose once you step in the ring. But a guy like Chuck Liddell, I mean, dear God, you've had to see him fight a lot, right?
Yeah, that was my second time fighting Chuck Liddell. A lot of Americans really didn't know about me because I used to fight in Japan.
That's where you started, right?
That's where I got famous. Mm-hmm. You know, I started in America, but that's where I got my little role on. And Chuck Liddell came over to Japan in a tournament, and I sent them home crying.
Really? Well, you did.
Was it the best minute and 53 seconds since the first time you had sex?
Whoa. Normally my sex don't last a minute and 53 seconds. What are you talking about? That's a record breaker for me.
When you were traded that fight against Liddell, though, did you know that that was possible, or were even you surprised to see him go down so fast?
You know what? I was surprised to see him go down so fast because the first time I fought him, it took me like 11, 12 minutes because our first round in Japan is 10 minutes. And
dear God.
And I beat him like a minute, and I beat him like a minute, 44 in the second round.
The first round is 10 minutes.
The first round, 10 minutes. You
Why not make it an hour? I mean,
well,
come on.
That point. I mean,
why have rounds?
I've said before that I trained in kickboxing for a while, and those 3 minutes in the ring are the most tiring 3 minutes. It feels like 2 years.
Yeah. We laugh.
10 minutes.
Yeah, we laugh at the kickboxers because I like watching K-1, so like that. They get tired in 3 minutes, and we start laughing. They turn in 3 minutes.
You're just warming up. So,
when you're the so you're the champ now, you're light heavyweight champ of the world.
Am I champ?
I believe you are. Yeah, I believe that's you. Yeah. Do you you carry your belt around? You carry it around everywhere? Try to get free stuff with it?
Yeah, I do carry it around a little bit too much. I almost carried it here, but people are like, no, come on, it's a radio show. No one can see you.
I would have liked to have seen it.
I'd carry it everywhere I went. Yeah. If I were you, I think.
Yeah,
that's just the way I am.
I did for a little while. People got mad at me.
What's it like? What's it like when you have to train to go a long time with Chuck Liddell, but then a minute 53 into it, it's already over, and you're like,
"Do you feel cheated?"
No, but you must feel exhilarated because you didn't have to put out 10 rounds worth of whatever.
Yeah, actually, I wish the fight would have had went a little while longer, just so the American fans could say, "Oh, it wasn't a fluke." Yeah. He really,
they were saying maybe it was a lucky punch.
Because a lot of people still didn't see the first fight. The first fight I fought him, they had to throw in the towel. You know what I'm saying? Because he was tough, but he just wouldn't tap out.
Right.
But I was putting a whooping up on him. And so this time they were like, oh, it's a fluke. Cause anything can happen in the cage. Anything can happen.
Sure.
Yeah, so I just wish it would have went a little bit longer so people saw, yeah, it wasn't a fluke. Chuck really got whooped up on
I'm guessing they'll see plenty of you. I'm guessing they'll know that was not a lucky punch. Yeah.
Well, Quentin is kind of a wallflower a little bit. He's kind of a shy guy, so they may not get to know him, I guess. This is so funny, by the way, and we've often been surprised by guests we've had in from the UFC because, all we know about you is what we see on the TV, and then you come in and sometimes you're completely different. Right before you walk through the door, Lisa May, who's sitting to your left, she says, what do I call him? Do I call him Rampage? Do I call him Quentin? I said, I've seen the dude fight. Call him Sir. and then you walk in and you're like, couldn't be, any sweeter, any more charming. It seems like such a disconnect from the persona that you have when you're, in the ring.
Yeah, people think, we're barbaric, we're animals and stuff like that. There's people that's ignorant about the sport, what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it's what you see on TV. But me, I have like a split personality. When it's time for me to go to battle, It's kind of like a military guy going to war, When he's out with his partners and stuff, he's hanging by the tanks, he's probably drinking, laughing, but then it's time to shoot, It's time to get serious. That's how I make my money. I don't want to go out there all joking around and get knocked the hell out.
Right.
How long before the fight do you start just getting into that zone where you don't want
to? I think like 5 or 10 minutes before the fight. I joke up all the way up to the fight, but it's just me. I joke up and laugh because I like to have a good time.
Stay loose or whatever.
Stay loose 5-10 minutes before the fight. Then a switch turn. I don't know when. Sometimes, I'm talking to somebody in the middle of a sentence. Then whoop.
Really?
It's time.
That would freak me the hell out.
I'm just joking about that.
Now, how long after a match, after a fight, are you allowed to just not think about fighting and do nothing and just enjoy it?
Well, normally I like to take a week off, and get back in there, saying it depends on how long the fight was. But since this is the, UFC and how big they were and how big they are and it was a championship fight, I've been on the move everywhere. It's been like over a month, and I just haven't been back to the gym.
Wow.
How about that? Me too, by the way. We got something coming.
Shut
I haven't
up.
Been back to the gym in over a month.
You've never been to the gym. That's the difference.
Well, I'm just saying. All right. We have many, many more questions for you about the training, about UFC, about what happens next, about your fight in England. I know Mike has a lot of really boring questions about stuff he wants to ask you because he's crazy and obsessed. But will you stick around? Can we take a quick break and come back, Rampage?
Sure. It's y'all show.
Quentin Rampage Jackson. We'll be right back. We got our breakfast with Linkin Park tomorrow. More tickets are on the way. Right now we have Quentin Rampage Jackson in the studio.
Friday, actually, is when Breakfast with Linkin Park is. You can win those tickets here in about 10 minutes at 1-800-520-1067. So, Tito has got Jenna Jameson now, Quentin Rampage Jackson. What are you going to do about that?
I don't care what he got.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Now you got to go out and get you one, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no. I got to stay away from stuff like that.
Oh, you do?
I had to keep it real. Nothing against my boy Tito, and I don't judge people stuff like that, but...
You're friends with him, right?
I'm friends with him. We've been friends for a long time. But he has his likings. I have my likings. The girl I like, I want to think that she's never been with anyone.
Sure, okay.
But experience. I don't know how that's going to work.
Is it tough to be friends with so many of the guys that then you have to try to essentially kill? how do you turn that off? If like you got this fight coming up in September with a guy you've known a long time, you're going to be fighting against, and you like the dude, you're friends with the dude, yet you're going to go in there and hit him in the face.
The thing is, I like him so much, and I don't want to hurt him. So, and it don't hurt when you get knocked out. So I'm going to try to knock him out. When you get knocked out, you feel no pain. And like it's just like going playing football against somebody You know, so you don't want to hurt him, but you want to tackle him.
Yeah,
but
sure.
You know, I like Dan Henderson a lot, but you know, when you knock somebody out, it does not hurt.
Doesn't it hurt later?
I'll bet it hurts when they wake up.
No, it don't.
Really?
Yeah, it don't hurt. It don't like ask Chuck when he woke up. He said, "What happened?" You know what I'm saying? It didn't hurt. He don't know. He has no pain.
How
you know,
about that?
I heard concussions are bad for you. Is that wrong?
Well, you don't get a concussion every time you get knocked out.
You don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, one of the reasons the UFC has become so popular is there are now so many great athletes, young people who grew up seeing mixed martial arts and are getting into that field, whereas previously they might have gone into other sports. How about you? Did you always know this was the direction you were going to go, or was there a time as a young man that you thought maybe you'd play, you know, basketball or baseball or football or something like that?
Well, I actually can't play basketball to save your life. you know, I always wanted to be a pro wrestler. I'm from Memphis. And pro wrestling is, you know what I'm saying, really big there. I always wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Are most of the guys in the MMA, do they come out of the wrestling field?
No, but most of the best fighters have a wrestling background. Most of the champions, like Randy Couture, is a really good wrestler, you know what I'm saying? Sean Sherk, he's a really good wrestler. You know, most of the champions have a wrestling background.
We talked to Tito Ortiz when he was in, and he was telling us that he thinks the wrestling part of it, the jiu-jitsu or whatever, is the most important part.
Yeah, I would. You know what? When you really think about it, the wrestling is very important. Because Chuck Liddell, a lot of people really don't know, he was an awesome wrestler. It was hard to take him down. He can punch. So, but it's kind of like it's punching more because he knocked people out with punching. He didn't knock people out with wrestling.
Right.
But a lot of times I knock people out with wrestling.
Now, right before you came in, Mr. Jackson, our friend Psycho Mike was talking about how he was going to take you down. And he was going to put a whoop ass on you. Mike, you haven't been saying much. You've been a little quiet in the back of the room since Quentin arrived.
Well, I just realized that he, because of his size, I would feel bad, you know, doing something to him. Because I got to be 40 pounds lighter than him. And, I mean, he's got a reputation to maintain. You know,
so you're doing him a favor by not getting his face? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a professional broadcaster.
Look at how he's looking at you right now.
I'm a professional broadcaster, and I have decorum. I'm not going to look at him. I'm going to keep my eyes up. My eyes are to the ground. I don't want to look.
You won't look at him.
My God.
A lot of people talk till they get hit.
Yeah.
Hey, do you find that factor in whether it be bars or nightclubs or out shop, whatever?
Costco?
Do you find people that want to take you on because that would represent beating something? Or?
You know what? A lot of people say that, but I haven't had any problems because I'm so cool with everybody. You know what I'm saying?
You're also gigantic.
Am I gigantic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I was average.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're quite impressive, big. My friend.
thank you, sweetheart.
So it comes from you being kind of more peaceful and nice that they don't ever want to.
Because I'm cool with everybody.
Joker.
Because like I see fighting as my job and stuff like that. Plus, I don't want to lose my sponsors like Boost Mobile. You know what I'm saying? Like you go out to the a place and get in a fight and there's all in the media and stuff like that and stuff. And Boost Mobile take good care of me. And I love those guys. They hooked me up. You guys have no idea. Like they gave me a suite in Vegas like I'd never seen before. It had a stripper pole in the bathroom.
Oh, wow.
Why did I need that?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's
sweet.
Why did I need a stripper
pole
in the bathroom?
You didn't, but it's fantastic that you had it.
Yeah, you need to figure that out.
Yeah, it had a pool table. So I stepped on the pool table and when I took a shower, I took a swirl around a stripper pole.
Just to try it. Before we talk about the next fight, let me ask you this. Is it true that all of your sons have Rampage as a middle name?
Well, it's almost true. Like, one of my sons, I just got him like a year ago, and I haven't changed his name yet. So, but
you do have some kids with the Rampage as a middle name.
Two of my sons have Rampage middle name, and my daughter have Paige as a middle name.
Because
her mom will let me name her Rampagia.
Yeah, that's probably a good choice.
Yeah, so I just named the page.
You give a woman Rampage, you end up on the Tyra Banks daytime talk show. You don't want that.
No, you don't want that. But my dog has his middle name Rampage as well. So.
Do you think your kids are going to have a hard time growing up with you as a father with that kind of professional fighter thing where other kids are?
Well, I don't know. My kids now, when I go to school, their teachers and everybody's all crazy about me and their kids, you know. And the students and stuff are crazy. They wanted autographs. They wanted meet me, pictures and stuff like that. That's kind of weird to me because, you know, I used to fight in Japan where I'd be famous over there. I come home, no one knows who I am. So it's all new. And my kids say everybody love that, you know, that I'm fighting. When they finally meet me, they see how I am. So they're really nice. And they say they don't get teased and stuff that much. And so they're so young now. Everybody loving it now. So hopefully it continues when they grow up, because I don't want to go to school and beat up bullies.
Whoop some ass.
Beat up little kids. That's how they look. Boost Mobile, drop me for
they
sure.
They would not then. Like that.
Oh,
that's for
they
sure.
Like, they're like, oh, you fired.
We are talking to the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, Quentin Rampage Jackson. Before you go, let's talk about Saturday, September 8th. Where are you going to be at noon that day?
Saturday, September 8th. What?
That's the London fight.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
It's coming up.
You didn't realize that?
He threw a curve. Yeah, I'm gonna be in London. Hopefully, whooping some tail.
Tell us about how this is coming together of the disciplines.
Yeah, this is like a historical fight. This would be the first time two belts was unified, and it's gonna be a good show. Cause this guy, he's really tough. He's an excellent wrestler, and he liked to punch and stuff like that. But he's a little bitty guy.
He's from Japan.
No.
Who's this guy?
You said what?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, he's from America, but he's a champion in Japan.
Okay. That's what I remember.
And you helped train him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I helped train him a few times for some fights, but he never returned the favor, so this time I'm going to say, after we fight this time, I say, look, now you better help me train for my next fight.
This time it's personal.
Because
of the time difference and all that stuff, this will be one we don't see live. I guess they'll probably tape delay that one on TV over here, right?
I don't know. I heard they're going to show it on Spike, so I don't know how that worked, but London is what? It's only like, what, 8 hours?
8 hours ahead.
8 hours,
yeah. So I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's at 8 o'clock at night on Saturday night, and then it's noon here or something like that.
Yeah, you guys will be at work.
We'll figure it out. No, not
on
Saturday.
Oh, not on Saturday?
No.
Y'all don't work on Saturday?
We're watching you kick some ass.
All right.
Quentin Rampage Jackson, very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime you want me back, you know what I'm saying? Just have some brownies here.
Done.
Which kind?
We'll take care of it.
The good kid.
The one with the nuts in there.
I got you. All right. Excellent.
And have Lisa give them to me.
All right.
You betcha.
If that's what you require, that'll be done.
All right.
Thank you, man. All right.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Yeah, take care.
Thank you. I don't know how you can go on and do the show like everything's normal and just pretend that everything's okay and just be laughing and joking and having a good time. What's wrong with you, man? Where's your sensitivity?
What are you talking about?
It's the summer of death. It's the summer of death. I'm telling you that every week, it seems like this summer, there's been another problem at an amusement park. I didn't even hear about this one recently in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. A 16-year-old girl fell about 45 feet from a bungee-like amusement ride.
Oh.
Didn't even hear about that one. Just added to the latest. I mean, there's been so many of them. Of course, the famous one in Kentucky, some problem with a cable, ended up cutting off a girl's feet.
But
both of her feet sliced off above the ankle. They weren't able to put one of them back on.
Ouch. My God.
They put the other one on her wrist. but when you stop and think, I was reading through this article, and they've had, 3,400 accidents or something over 4 years in all of the theme parks put together.
All over the world.
When you stop and think that 335 million people visited, that's not a bad rate.
Well, I mean, it's probably safer than getting in your car and driving on a freeway.
Totally.
I mean, in terms of actual percentage, you're right. But there is some concern, and there are some people who are a little bit squeamish about the dangerous rides because, the rides are always getting taller, they're always getting faster, they're always getting scarier. So we thought, let's just make everybody feel better by bringing on a responsible guy who knows what he's talking about. He is Howard Baltus. He is the Vice President of Media for the U.S. Council of Amusement Ride Safety. Good morning, Mr. Baltus. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Good morning, fellas. Thank you for having me on.
So I hope we didn't overstate the possibility of danger in our open, but this has been, it seems like, a particularly difficult summer for your industry.
There has been a spate of accidents over this particular summer. I think the grouping of the accidents has brought more media attention to it. However, statistically, we're about on course for the average amount of accidents per year in amusement parks throughout the United States and the world. Yes.
So Bean might have exaggerated when he called it the summer of death.
That might be a slight exaggeration, okay. Yes, of course. But of course, here at the U.S. Council of Amusement Ride Safety, our goal is to reduce that number to zero. Ideally, these amusement parks will be fun for the whole family, and we'll never have to hear about these stories. So we're constantly vigilant, looking for dangerous parks and rides and people who don't live up to our safety standards.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you exactly, Mr. Baltus, and that is how often, for instance, at your typical amusement park that you go to, how often do they come in and do a complete safety check on each ride? Because it seems like it'd be pretty easy for, a nut to be loose here or a bolt to fall off there. It's something you got to stay on top of.
Sadly, it is usually maintenance that causes most of the problems that we encounter regarding safety. A lot of the times, the safety standards in individual parks are lax. Sometimes the larger chains tend to have better upkeep with those type of things because they have a larger staff. It's usually the smaller amusement parks that we're most concerned with, and I spend a large part of my year, as do many of the people I work with, actually traveling around the country doing spot inspections, trying to encourage more maintenance for safety for these rides.
And what have you found out there looking around the country?
Well, I've been busy all summer. I've been traveling about. Usually you can find, when you stop by a smaller amusement park, sometimes the name itself of the park will be a giveaway that it may not be the safest place to take your family.
Right.
I'm currently here in Alabama visiting a theme park called Napalm Springs.
Yeah.
What is that?
I wouldn't go there.
Yeah. But you're surprised how busy it is. I've had to shut down two of their rides. They do have a roller coaster called the Limb Separator.
Oh, well, that
sounds bad.
That's a tip-off right there. That you might want to keep your hands inside the car.
Yeah.
They've got a water ride here called Acid Bath Mountain.
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't think, literally, it would be an acid bath of sulfuric acid waiting for you when you come down the mountain.
But it was?
It was.
That's
yeah.
what it was.
It was.
Wow, it's so good that you got there. I'm glad you were able to
lost two
spare
good inspectors
people.
On that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
wow. Jeez.
Recently, I was in New Hampshire at Danger Gardens.
Right.
We had to shut down their house of lemon juice and razors.
Oh. Ow.
That sounds like an ugly ride.
It was a completely dark fun house with razors lining the walls, and then a shower of lemon juice at the end of the ride.
That sounds painful.
Ouch. Wow.
People were complaining.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah.
Ouch.
Their other ride, the Mechanical Bulls of Pamplona. Where motorized bulls would gore you and run around a track and try to stick their horns through you. We had to shut that one down.
Yeah, that seems bad, too. I'm surprised that these ever got made.
Me, too. Doesn't sound like much fun, does it?
No.
No, who gets on that?
In Kentucky, we were recently at Treachery World.
Treachery World?
Oh,
wow.
Treachery World, of course, has the plastic explosive bumper cars. Bumper cars made entirely of plastic explosives. Upon contact, they were blowing up.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
And the uranium mine ride, where you'd actually ride through an actual active uranium mine.
That's not a good idea?
No, the owner said we give the Geiger counters, but I don't think that was still safe.
That's not enough.
Radiation's radiation any way you cut it.
Thank God you're out there.
Also, this summer we visited Lava Land.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theme park built on an active volcano. That wasn't good for anybody.
Yeah.
Especially with their live ammo stunt show that they put on there, firing bullets into the audience. People were complaining.
Wow. You would think we would hear more about some of these specific instances.
And the ride Buzzsaw Blades of the Caribbean.
Right?
Yeah, you don't want to go on that.
That doesn't sound good.
No. Deathberry Farm we stopped by this year.
<Come on.
laughs> With the rusty nail boardwalk that they offer. And for the kids, Concentration Camp Snoopy.
Oh! Wow.
Yeah, I think I should probably go on that one.
Wow. Best use of bongos in a long time. Best use of bongos and whistling in a long time.
It's a new category of the Grammys this year. They're a shoo-in.
It's not fair, by the way. When Kevin and Bean whistle the hits, everybody bitches about it. Peter, Bjorn, and John whistle the hits. Oh, let's give them a Grammy. Oh, let's sell a lot of records. Oh, let's go see them in concert. What's the deal?
We're bad.
Good delivery. Yeah, there's that. Congratulations to Kristen Zipfel from
What? Kristen Zipfel?
No way.
Zipfel.
Like, that was the name Z-I-P? Of the page on Green Acres.
Z-I-P-F-E-L. She won tickets for White Stripes at the Forum. She's eligible for the grand prize during Friday morning at around 7:15 for White Stripes at Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Your chance to qualify coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now at 8:55.
That was the theme song for the pig on Green Acres. Remember that? When the pig would come out? Arnold?
Not really.
Arnold
Zipfel?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I entertain myself. I wish Kevin Smith was back here again. He gets me. Speaking of Kevin Smith, yesterday he mentioned the cult art show that was going on at Gallery 1988 on La Brea and Melrose. And I stopped by there last night, and first of all, boy, were there a lot of people there. But it's a small little gallery, and there's some really amazing artwork based on all different kinds of cult movies. Everything from Kevin Smith's films to David Lynch's movies, Donnie Darko, The Wizard of Oz, Star Wars films, you name it, it's there. So if you are a movie buff and you want to see some excellent artwork done by some local artists,
check out the Gallery 1988 on La Brea and Melrose. It'll be showing until August 10th, so you get a chance to go down there and see all the art. Very entertaining. I had a good time last night. Lindsay Lohan just got out of rehab. It's not letting her slow her down, though.
You can't.
I mentioned over the weekend she was in Vegas partying at Pure at the Caesars Palace Hotel and Casino, and she was wearing a voluntary ankle bracelet that measures alcohol in the on the skin and is able to tell whether you are consistently sober or not. It measures about every half an hour or so and gives a reading as to whether the person wearing it has ingested any alcohol. She is voluntarily wearing that because she believes wholeheartedly in her sobriety.
Until her court case.
Well, interestingly, this blind item just appeared in the New York Post today under the headline, Just Asking. And it says, which hard partying starlet has figured out a way to get high while wearing an alcohol monitoring anklet? She was asking where she could score some ecstasy at a Vegas club the other night. See, she's not wearing an ecstasy monitoring anklet.
Right.
True. So, no harm, no foul, as far as I can tell.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, that's right.
There's your answer right there.
That's where she got it from. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the people at Promises just must shake their head every day when these people leave. And
are you sure she went to rehab, or did she go to rehab at the Hard Rock in Vegas?
Maybe.
Sunday at the pool, they call it rehab.
That's what's confusing me.
Maybe that's what it was.
Andy Dick got beat up by John Lovitz the other night at the Laugh Factory. Hardly a factory of laughs, by the way, when people are getting beat up at the bar.
You mean John Rampage Lovitz.
That's right. John Rampage Lovitz picked up Andy Dick several times and smashed his head and face against the bar, according to witnesses, causing him to bleed. This isn't the first time the two have had problems. Apparently, there's been a long-time feud between the two over the death of Phil Hartman. Allegedly, Andy Dick gave Bryn Hartman, Phil's wife, who shot and killed Phil and then herself, a cocaine at a house party after she had been sober for 10 years.
Ouch.
Lovitz blames Dick for giving her the cocaine that knocked her off the wagon, got her hooked again, and then when she was in a drug delirium, killed Hartman and herself 5 months later. So these two have been going at it for some time now. And apparently they got into it again at the Laugh Factory, and now Andy's got some bruises and scars to prove what a badass John Lovitz is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Star of Benchwarmers. Kick your ass. You know you're in trouble.
Who is the great, forgive me if you don't know this and I'm just slowing the whole thing down, but who is the great Simpsons character that that Phil used to do?
Troy McClure.
McClure, yeah.
I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such movies as P is for Preacher. Yeah, he was the best.
He was terrific.
And Lionel Hutz, too. Also, the lawyer, Lionel Hutz, used to play on that show.
Fantastic.
I love Phil Hartman. I may have been wrong when I said earlier today, all day long, that Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz were engaged.
Oh!
Yeah, you said that was a fact, I think.
I said Fall Out Boy, Pete Wentz, proposed to Ashley Simpson the day of Live Earth, the concert in New York where he was performing with FOB.
Right.
Well, Us Magazine now is saying that rumors of their engagement is absolutely not true.
How happy is Shaolin Robot right now?
Yeah, no kidding.
I am very excited.
Our intern, very upset that Pete Wentz was engaged.
Ashley's folks said that's not the case at all. And the rumors that she was keeping the engagement secret is, in fact, the reason she hasn't brought it up is because it's non-existent. That's why. So they're not engaged, according to Ashley Simpson's PR people.
Or are they?
But yeah, you know how we feel about the publicists.
Ashley's dad went on to say, did you check out her rack, though?
See how hot my daughter is, though?
Did you see her rack?
Oh, I would so do her. If she wasn't my daughter, I wasn't big.
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
The list from Forbes magazine of the top 10 money-making supermodels in the world was released yesterday. You're going to be stunned when you find out how much Gisele Bündchen number one makes. But I'll go from least to most.
All right.
Gemma Ward is number 10 on the list. She's 19 years old, makes $3 million a year posing for photographs.
Pretty
sweet.
Bad.
Daria Verboey, 22 years old, makes $3.5 million. Good enough to make her number 9. Karolina Krakova.
Oh, squirt.
Is eighth on the list. Seventh is Natalie Vodianova. She is 25, makes $4.5 million a year as a model. Six, Carolyn Murphy. She's long in the tooth. She's 31, but she still makes $5 million a year. Alessandra Ambrosio.
Oh, goodness.
$6 million a year makes her number 5 on the list.
You know, I'm listening to this list. Americans may be number one in a lot of categories. We don't show up too well in the top 10 of supermodels, do we?
Mm-mm. No, we don't. Adriana Lima makes a little over $6 million a year, makes her number four on the list. Heidi Klum is eighth on the list. Makes $8 million, makes her third on the list. Kate Moss, second on the list.
Please.
$9 million a year Kate Moss makes.
She's hideous.
Yes, stunning. She is. I agree.
She has the body of a nine-year-old boy.
She's deeply unattractive.
What is going on with that?
And yet she is the face of a couple cosmetics lines and some clothing lines. She is. She's out there all the time.
She's a week away from a murder-suicide pact with Pete Doherty, though. We're not going to have her on that list for long.
Yeah, they got some troubles. Number one, no surprise here, Gisele Bündchen, who, of course, is probably the most prominent of the Victoria's Secret catalog models. She gets $5 million from Victoria's Secret alone to do the catwalk in their shows and to pose for their catalog, and she makes a couple bucks otherwise. $33 million a year she makes.
Wow!
As a supermodel. So, girls, if you're looking to make a good living, supermodel. That's what I recommend for you.
That's a good choice.
Go be a supermodel.
Super easy. You just have to apply.
That's why they call it supermodel.
That's right.
Because it's super easy. And Tia Leone and David Duchovny apparently are making the rest of us look bad in the marriage department. Apparently their sex life is just nuts. Freaky nuts, the two of them.
Right.
Dave Duchovny was doing some press for his new TV series on Showtime, talking about the fact that they once made love in a hotel sauna so intensely that Tia Leone passed out from the heat and the sex. And he had to drag her out.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
Apparently, David said, though, you won't see their sex tape on the video on the internet at any time because they don't videotape themselves having sex.
No, they're smart.
He says he can't imagine anything worse than watching people have sex actually do it on camera. So.
Smart.
I don't know. I like the pros. I like watching them do it.
That's good.
But that's just me. And lastly, William Shatner's got a new TV series. Apparently, they've given him a show on the Biography Channel. It's going to be a talk show where he will interview actors and politicians. I think this will be fascinating because Bill's a clever dude.
He seems to be very bright, very curious.
I think he'll come up with some interesting interviews. The show's called Shatner's Raw Nerve. I read it that once. You don't want to see that.
That's a different one.
Apparently, he says he's going to explore life's most intriguing questions and guests and find strange and unknown stories about them. So, looking forward to that.
We've seen him interview Leonard Nimoy on some specials and DVDs and stuff. And he, of course, that's a topic he certainly is familiar with. But he does seem like one of those people who's just genuinely curious and interested in lots of things in life. He'd be a good choice for that.
If you're a fan of Star Trek at all, on any level, you really should pick yourself up the DVD called Mind Meld, which is just Shatner and Nimoy sitting down interviewing each other about the history of Star Trek. And about 18 minutes in, you can hear Shatner fart.
Pretty loud.
Spectacular. It's good times. So, Leonard, when we were making Star Trek,
Captain, I believe you just pooped yourself.
Today's celebrity birthday is Paul Verhoeven. The director is 69 years old today. Jack Irons, former drummer for Pearl Jam, turns 45. Vin Diesel is 40. Mark Vincent, by the way, his real name. Mark Vincent.
Oh,
that's a good name.
Well, that's a perfectly good actor name, isn't it, Mark Vincent?
So Vin Diesel.
I would change it to Vin Diesel, but that's Dieselier.
He's not a great actor, but he does have a certain charisma about him.
Oh, doth he?
Yoo-hoo! Vin Diesel! You're charismatic! Yoo-hoo! Like, in XXX, for instance, which I think is his best movie that I've seen,
That's true. That film would have been the same without him.
You wouldn't see
XXX?
He thought it was porn.
Oh,
I did. I thought it was porn.
That was the mistake he made.
Confused.
Darren Malakian from System of a Down is 32 years old today, and Kristen Bell. Should be a national holiday on Kristen Bell's birthday, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Dave, we're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you. I'm in love with Kristen Bell.
Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now.
How'd the Biography Channel not give Dave the King of Mexico his own interview
show? No kidding.
Well,
that kind of skill?
Kristen celebrates her 27th birthday today. We wish her all the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Friday morning, very special show here on the Kevin and Bean Show because we're giving away a trip to South Dakota to see the White Stripes at Mount Rushmore. Grand prize drawing for that is going to be around 7:15. Your chance to qualify coming up. And we're also doing breakfast with a little band that we've come to know and love over the years called Linkin Park. If you want to win tickets for that and get a chance to see them for the Project Revolution as well with My Chemical Romance and more Taking Back Sunday, July 28th at the Hyundai Pavilion, you can call right now and play our brand new game that will debut for you here.
Famous Lincolns, famous Lincolns. Keep your eyes open, there's no blinking.
Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking. If you can't name a famous Lincoln.
Okay. So we did famous parks earlier in the week. Today we're doing famous Lincolns. All of the answers will involve famous Lincolns that you've heard of, and all you have to do is get it right, and you win tickets into the breakfast and at the Project Revolution. So let's start with contestant number one and see how it goes.
All right, let's say good morning to Jennifer and Carson. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
All right, famous Lincolns.
Listen up. Lincoln Navigator?
Okay, we actually... That's a good guess, but we're actually going to ask you a question, and then you tell us which famous Lincoln we're looking for, okay?
Oh,
yeah,
man.
No worries. No worries. Okay. Yeah.
Here's your question.
Although I like her game, and I wouldn't mind playing her game sometime. That's actually pretty good.
You just call up and tell us them.
The 16th United States president needed the Civil War like he needed a hole in his head.
What war was he at?
Okay. Famous Lincolns is what we're looking for. So the clue that I gave you is that he was the 16th U.S. president, and he needed the Civil War like he needed a hole in his head.
Abraham Lincoln?
Yes!
Thank God you came through with that, Jennifer. Well done.
Wow, we had our doubts about you. We'll see you at breakfast.
That was close.
All right, Julie in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
That was not fair. You came for the easy one.
How do you know?
What war was he in? All right, listen up, Julie. If your kids are playing with logs, you better hope it's these.
Lincoln logs?
Yes!
Yeah, there we go.
How did she do it? All right, hold on. Let's go to Tahir.
That's me.
In Sherman Oaks.
Right.
Okay. Tahir, if you were to piece together segments of a chain, you'd be doing this.
Linking?
Yes! How does he do it? Thank you.
I don't know. I'm starting to see some sort of trend. I'm not sure.
Casey in Fullerton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Casey. This automobile company makes the MKX, the Navigator, and this famous town car. What company?
Lincoln.
Yes!
Another one! Unbelievable!
These people are on today.
We didn't have nearly this good of luck with Park.
Casey and, oh no, I'm sorry, this is Philippi and Corona.
Hey!
Hi.
Hey! What's up?
Listen up. I'm not sure if Ralph Garman wrote this question or not, but I'll let you decide. The future 2007-2008 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles play their home games at blank financial field.
Lincoln?
Yes!
Yes!
Wow, are you from Philly? That's crazy.
What are the chances we get a sports fan like that?
Yashira in Torrance. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Yashira. So far, the people have either been very smart or very lucky. Let's see. How are you with politics? You good with politics?
Sure.
Okay, let's see how you do. This city is the capital of Nebraska and the hometown of our vice president, who we'll be talking to in about 10 minutes, Dick Cheney.
Is it Lincoln?
Yes,
it is. How would you know where Dick Cheney is from?
Cool.
That's unbelievable.
A Cheney fan.
I guess so.
Melissa in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Good luck. All right, listen up. Featuring the songs Cowtown, Purple Toupee, and Santa's Beard, the band They Might Be Giants recorded this album in 1989. What was the album called?
Lincoln?
Yes. They Might Be Giants fan. What are the chances
Almost
of
20
that?
Years ago, on her fingertips, she's got the name of the album. This is amazing.
All right, Alex and Whittier, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Alex.
All right, this famous New York City tunnel gets more traffic than Lisa May's Hoo-Ha, but not quite as wide.
Aww. Wow. Lincoln Tunnel?
Yes!
It is a Lincoln Tunnel!
Did we just have a sweep? Did that just happen?
Oh, my gosh. I think
Does that blow your mind? That did just happen.
That just happened. Breakfast with Lincoln Park. We have more tickets for you tomorrow morning and then Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Make sure and tune in to listen to Breakfast with Lincoln Park. Remember that time we had breakfast with STP and it was on top of that hotel and it was 5,000 degrees?
You were even ready to agree with Al Gore that day. Remember how hot it was up there?
We were on the face of the sun that day. It was brutal.
I remember you burst into flames.
I did, yes.
And we were, and if I recall, the band was all in pajamas, too.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, it was a pajama party. Yeah, that was good times. But Breakfast with Linkin Park is going to be Friday morning. We'll have more tickets you can win tomorrow morning. Right now, though, for getting on the air, you get some rock and roll music. We got Hinder, Papa Roach, Buck Cherry, August 1st at the Pacific Amphitheater at the Fairgrounds. We'll give you tickets to the 2007 Orange County Fair and tickets to the show just for being on the air with us right now.
Do they get some rock and roll music, Alan Freed?
I'm saying we're talking about STP and then Linkin Park. We continue the theme by giving away tickets to a rock show for What It Do Nephew.
All right. Speaking of rocks, let's talk to Dan in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, guys. Nice. How you doing?
Nice segue.
Good. Thank you.
Catherine B and Lisa May.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk to you guys about, or Bean, actually, about Clyde Tombaugh.
Yeah.
Tombaugh, right?
Tombaugh.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he ever get a stamp or what?
No.
Well, no, not yet. He just became eligible in January of this year, and of course, this year's commemoratives have already been decided. So we're hoping for maybe next year, the year after, he'll get
those. Of you that don't listen to the show regularly, Bean, as his one cause in life, has decided that he wants to get the guy who discovered Pluto, which is no longer even a planet, a stamp. I don't know how he came to that decision, but that's the most important thing.
They don't usually give stamps to rock finders, do they?
Don't get me started on the many other accomplishments. Even if you took Pluto out of the equation, this guy made a tremendous, tremendous impact on American science.
Yeah,
so
he definitely deserves a stamp.
Didn't I give you for Christmas a grip load of Clyde Tombaugh stamps?
I use them on every piece of mail I send out, Ralph.
And then wasn't conditional of that gift that you shut the F up about the Clyde Tombaugh stamp?
Yes, that is true.
You got him.
How about that Pluto?
That was part of it.
You have them now.
That's not enough for me to have them. Everybody should be using Dr. Tombaugh in their letters. Thank you very much for the call. You go to ClydeTombaugh.com if you want to sign the petition.
Marty and Covina.
Just saying.
Hey,
I'm saying, stop saying. What's going on, Marty?
Hey, I was at the Dodger game where the massacre last night, and I had the pleasure of sitting in the middle of a bunch of Eagles fans from the Shack.
Oh,
no kidding.
My gang.
Yeah, they had a good thing to say about you, Ralphie. They said you're a little intense, but you're
intense. I'm a maniac.
they say you start off quiet and you kind of build as the game goes,
and as the booze flows too. By the way,
yeah,
you had plenty of time to talk during yesterday's Dodger game, didn't you?
Oh, I heard it from all of them, and they kept telling me how was I lucky enough to sit in the middle of 51 rabid Eagle fans.
Was it the bus trip? Did they take a bus trip?
I actually got to meet Pat and Janet. They're really, really nice people.
And that's the owners of the Shack there, and every year they put together a bus trip from the Shack, and they bus everyone down to Dodger Stadium and watch the Phillies play the Dodgers when they're in town. It's a good time.
Oh,
plan.
I see.
I happened to be lucky enough to sit in the middle of them yesterday.
Excellent. Well, at least the Dodgers did well yesterday, so you're fine.
And and Philadelphia fans are notoriously good sports, so I'm sure they didn't give you a hard time at all about being a Dodgers fan.
Not at all.
You know, thank you for the call. They said this in the Invincible movie with Mark Wahlberg last year, but I bet a lot of people thought that it was just something funny they put in a script. But they really threw snowballs at Santa Claus on the field, right, Ralph?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're good. They're good people.
All right, let's say good morning to Kyle in Chatsworth. Good morning, Kyle. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
Kyle.
Do?
I was listening about the cat thing this morning and shooting with the BB gun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa had a story. They didn't really have BB guns back when he was little, so he had his cheap bow and arrow.
Right.
He would hide in the bush and shoot animals, but he would never hit them because it was all crappy. But one time this cat comes up on the street, so he hides in the bush and shoots it, and it hits the cat in between the eyes and just sticks there. And the arrow isn't sharp enough to go deep, so it kills it, but it just stays there, and the cat screams and runs away. That's
a terrible story.
Good times.
That is good.
Thing
thanks
it's
for calling, Michael Vick.
No, I'm just saying, a good thing it's only a cat. That's what I'm saying.
Damn it.
Did your grandpa go back to the cave and draw that experience on the wall when he was done hunting with bows and arrows? Was it a saber-tooth cat?
Matthew in Baldwin Park. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Baby boo.
Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, I just want to back up Shaolin Robot about the whole dumpster diving thing.
Yeah, our intern, Shaolin Robot, today, we brought her in, and she was telling us about how she dumpster dives to get food, because it gets thrown out if it's not fresh.
Right.
Yeah, back in high school, we used to skateboard in the back of the school all the time, and me and my friends were hungry and stuff, and we didn't have no money, and we seen one of the cafeteria ladies come outside and throw a big old box away in the dumpster,
And it was like a big old box full of like these calzone pizza things, you know?
Right.
So we were like, yeah, we're all for it. We jumped in there and we grabbed them, you know what I mean? I had no problem dumpster diving. You know? It's like perfectly good food, you know? Why let it go to waste?
Now, a lot of these fast food places, don't they have a time limit under which the, you know, the burgers can stay under the lights? And then if they've been there for 15 minutes or something like that, they have to throw them out by law or something, right?
That's right. And also, it's a weird sort of catch-22. They're not allowed to give them to homeless people and stuff.
Why?
I have no idea. I guess some sort of legal issue. Perhaps they opens them up to some liability if they do that. But they choose rather to destroy it and to throw it away than to give it to the homeless.
So dumpster dive then is the message today.
I guess so. Yeah. Right.
There's that that worldwide group called the Freegans, and you can find them online. The Freegans, and that's what they live on exclusively. They only eat stuff that's being thrown away because they are trying to rebel against all the wasted food. They say you can easily live off what's in dumpsters at grocery stores and restaurants.
They'll show us.
They'll eat out of garbage.
Chris at Anaheim Hills. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, guys?
What it do?
I was just calling to share the good news that I got yesterday that my mother-in-law's moving in with us this morning.
Fantastic. Oh,
congratulations,
well, now,
hold on.
Chris.
Hold
good
on.
Times.
Is she hot?
No.
Okay. Sorry, dude.
All right, after three beers, is she hot?
No, if I had time, I would have built a trough for her.
Oh that's not going to be good.
Does she listen to K-Rock?
Because if so, you're screwed.
Is this a permanent thing, Chris? Is she in for the long haul, or is she just temporarily?
Well, you tell me. She decided to leave Florida, come here, and surprise us with the news from Arizona. Long haul. No job.
Long haul.
Money,
yeah.
And no place.
Yeah. Rest of her life.
Yep. Well, you need to be a good son-in-law, and you need to say, Mom, I'm glad you're here. I'm going to help you find another place to live, and I'm happy to spend my time to make sure you get something you're comfortable with.
Okay. Let us know how that works out. Yeah.
Good luck.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. That's good news right there.
I love my mother-in-law. I still wouldn't want that to happen.
It's tough to have anyone live with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is. Hey, I'm not allowed to see who's calling, but did we have an update from the lady who got the ticket for
that's who I'm trying to go
husband?
To. Oh, okay, great. Marion Torrance, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. Now, you got...
Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
You got pulled over for interfacing orally with your husband. I don't know what I'm supposed to say and not supposed to say.
Yeah, it's difficult now. It's hard.
She's taking a nap. She's just taking a nap. She had her head in his lap.
Right.
And we talked to you about a month ago or so, and you told us that you had received a ticket and were getting ready to go to court, and we asked you at that time to call us back if you had any kind of an update. Is that what this is about?
No, I went to court. And
okay.
I did go to court. I told you guys I went to court.
Right.
And it was funny because they had to reenact the whole thing to the judge and stuff, and I was laughing, so he ended up charging us with the maximum penalty was being registered as a sex offender.
Right, that was the part of the story. Remember, she had to register as a sex offender.
Yeah. Right.
So we did get a lawyer. We went to court. We appealed it. And again, we had to reenact the whole thing for them again.
You had to reenact it there in the courtroom?
Well, not reenacted.
You had to show it to them?
What are they
not familiar with that action?
Is it a horny judge? He just wants to see you do it?
Your Honor, the court is not familiar with bobbing for gonads.
Good
band. Yeah, they're good.
Well, the cop had to tell him how. You know, he found it.
Right, yeah.
And by the way, I'd like to remind you, the cop saw nothing, right? He just saw that your head was not visible. He didn't actually see what was going on.
Well, yes.
Wasn't she naked?
I didn't have a shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Over, so
well, you were hot. I mean, it's a heat wave.
All right, did the appeal work?
Yes.
It did. What happened?
The judge told us that he wanted to make sure that we knew the seriousness of the crime, and we said we did, and it was just a really bad mistake. And that we didn't realize, you know, what had happened. So, I mean, he was pretty cool. The lawyer ended up bargaining with him. We got, we had to pay the fine.
But you don't have to register as a sex offender.
No.
Thank God.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
They should have given her one of those good tickets that the police pull you over and write every once in a while
for
being a good driver. They should have given her $1,000.
And a get-out-of-jail-free card for you.
Yes.
Yeah, well, a whole ordeal cost is about $10,000.
Oh, wow. $10,000.
Yeah,
wow, that's it.
He got fined $1,500 for being the one that, you know.
That's bogus right there.
I don't care how good you are. It's not worth that.
Yeah, for $10,000, your husband got a really hot chick.
Yeah.
Do that.
How do you know she's not?
I know.
He could have gotten 10 hot chicks.
Mary, you did the right thing. I know that your wallet tells you otherwise, but you did the right thing.
I'm glad you fought it.
Well, it was his fault because he pulled into carpooling.
That's right.
See?
All right.
That's what are you
going to do?
Last question, Mary. Will you stop doing it, or are you still going to tempt fate and do it again?
We pulled over.
Pull over. Okay. Yeah.
Pull over. That's a good idea.
Good enough. All right. Good work.
God bless Mary. I love Mary.
Fight
She's
the power.
Best. That's good news right there. Sex offender. I mean, that is clearly not what the law was intended for.
You don't want Chris Hansen coming out and coming up to your window. Fuck me. What were you thinking you were doing there in your husband's lap?
I want to thank our
zipper inspection.
Quentin Rampage Jackson for joining us. He is, of course, the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world. I think Lisa May is very deeply in love with him.
He's my boyfriend.
It is kind of weird that of all of us who have always wanted to nail Lisa May, all Rampage would have to do is just say yes, and she's there.
It's the charm, boys. You don't have his charm.
Yeah. You're kidding
the
me.
Charm
telling me.
He's 9 feet tall, and she imagines what's in his pants.
It's all so charming.
Anyway, his next fight is going to be Saturday, September the 8th in London, England. Call your local cable satellite provider for more or check out his website, allrampage.com.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Harvey Levin on the program from TMZ.com. He, of course, will tell us about all the young Hollywood stars and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he had a photographer apparently beaten up by a CSI actor.
Oof.
A little strange.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him tomorrow about that. We have the Reverend Speaker Gerald Polly.
Excellent.
Who talks to God, don't you know?
No.
And he says that we, the Kevin and Bean Show, are God's favorite talk show.
Well, obviously.
Come on.
Obviously.
Good job, boys.
Kevin, how could you keep your job on the radio if you weren't God's favorite talk show host?
God's or the devil's, one of the two.
Yes.
Also tomorrow, people who have to wear costumes to work.
Oh,
our intern was the Gator in Florida, and his brother is the Seattle Seahawk. That's what he does for a living.
It runs in the family?
Yes.
Mascotting?
Yes.
That's interesting.
And you know, a lot of people in Southern California have to wear, costumes.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Famously, Brad Pitt had a job where he was dressed up in a chicken suit for a chicken restaurant. Remember how he used to go out on the street and flag people down?
Plus, tomorrow, highlights of the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championships in Vegas.
Ooh.
Oh, did I miss those? Has that already happened?
They're athletes, don't you know? Mm. So we'll do that tomorrow. Why are Asian babies blue? We'll figure that out. Talk some more about Chris Angel and your last chance at breakfast with Linkin Park tickets tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Jed the Fish, you're coming up next with your 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. I know you got the Interpol, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Tool, Jimmy Eat World, and more, but anything else special for the K-Rock listeners?
The new Interpol song I'll be playing is called The Heimlich Maneuver. I remember I did the Heimlich Maneuver on the Swedish Eagle at Applebee's because he had schnitzel in his throat. It was scary. Carol Q.